This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/iFanboy.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
You're listening to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, and you've been doing it for a year. iFanboy.com's Pick of the Week podcast. This is episode 54. It has been 1 year.
Crazy.
Woo! Let's have a little reverie, you bastards.
Woo!
Oh, there we go.
Woo! Oh, someone's at the door.
Oh, I was on Nazis.
A, don't steal my line. B, oh, we can't keep going back to the well like that.
I know.
It's stupid. Anyway, you know what? It is not hot in here.
Oh.
It's downright cold. I am Josh, and I am very different from the other person here, who is Ron.
Yes, me. I am Ron. I am not Josh.
That's no, not at all. And of course, the big scary voice in the corner is Connor.
Hello.
I don't know. I'm a little turned on. Anyway, iFanboy.com is a website that we put together so that we could talk about comic books, which we do frequently. And every week, one of us, we all read a big stack of comic books, and then one of us will pick the book that they thought was best and write a review about it, and then we come here and talk about it on the podcast. It should be warned that this show, we've learned from our listeners, we should warn you, may contain some spoilers. It's a review show. We're talking about the books that came out just this past week. So if you haven't read your books yet, pause your devices. Come back later. And with that, we need to get moving because there's a lot of show coming up. You may have noticed, very long. So, Connor, you are up. Bring it home.
Before I get to the pick, just a brief sort of warning.
Let's set the stage.
We're not going to go in depth like we normally do because we've got a lot to do in the show to celebrate the year long. So there are going to be a lot of quick book discussions. Nothing as long as you're used to. Just so you know.
It's a little different this time.
A little different. The pick of the week this week, though, is Criminal No. 2 from Marvel's Icon imprint. Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips. And I think I was really surprised myself. Because I think if you look back when the first one came out, I was the most lukewarm on it. Out of all three of us and Jonathan. And No. 2 really just kicked me in the ass, which is what I was hoping for No. 1 would do. Which is why I think I didn't like No. 1 as much as everyone else did. But
I was really surprised they turned up the notch on the action so quickly.
Me too. I was expecting a longer build towards the heist, which is usually the climax of the story, and clearly this is not following a heist convention.
It's not about the heist, really, specifically.
Right, which is somewhat disappointing, but is interesting in and of itself. My jaw literally drops during the heist when it all goes bad for the main character, and the guns come out, and people start getting shot, and there's a two-page spread where the action goes down, and my jaw was on the floor the whole time. And
you didn't have a goatee to hold it up like the main character does?
It's not a goatee, it's a...
whatever it is.
Chin triangle.
It's awful. It's the only bad thing I have to say about this book is the main character design is terrible. He's got a stupid chin thing, he's got dumb hair, and it bothers me every time I see him. But other than that...
You were absolutely right about the reason why it's stupid.
Yes. The reason why it's stupid is because... if you read at all about professional criminals, not the kind that pull off ill-conceived robberies and go to jail, but guys who, you know, spend their entire lives pulling jobs and usually evading the law, is that you don't stand out from the crowd, you blend into the crowd, and the stupid chin thing he's got is something that stands out, something people would remember.
You can make him.
Something easily identifiable, and that's why it's dumb. He gets the patented Connor seal of dumb.
You talk as if you know what you're talking about there, Connor.
I have nothing to say about that subject. But I think this is really fast-paced. This is really interesting. Criminal underworld seems to be an area that Brubaker has a lot of feel for in this, in Gotham Central, in his independent work. And he really shines in Sleeper even. And this is where his strengths comes out. And I think if you look recently, we're picking a lot of Brubaker work. So he's really in a groove right now.
Definitely. My favorite scene in this book, by the way, was when he was... I don't remember his name. That's not good. The main character... Leo. He was on the phone, and his Alzheimer's drug addict father friend guy was pickpocketing, and he had to, like, stop. No, not now. Stop working. And the only thing that he has left to hang on to reality, even though his mind is getting addled, is the fact that he's, like, a brilliant career criminal.
Yes.
Which was very funny.
And it was a well-planned out execution of the heist. I mean, it was a good plan. It was interesting. I don't know why people love heists, but people seem to.
I like the planning aspect more than the heist itself. I mean, the planning was fun about how they had a impromptu broke down car to see what different route the truck would take, and like
he did pull out the that's it or I'll walk. He pulled that out about one too many times in this issue.
Yeah. But it's exciting. I don't know. What did you guys think?
Sean Phillips rules my world.
Yeah, I dug it. I mean, I don't know if I would have picked it as the pick, but it was definitely up there. It was definitely probably because I picked the first one as the pick originally. it was definitely up there. It was really, really good.
I thought this was miles better than the first one, mostly because so much unexpected happened in it.
Yeah, because there was action where the first one was more.
But not necessarily just action you wouldn't expect. People die that you didn't expect. People get shot. Things go, but the story goes a different way than at least what I was expecting it to go.
Yeah, it was good.
Is this a miniseries or is this a ongoing series?
I'm pretty sure it's an ongoing with a series of different arcs. So this story might end, but then they might...
This story has five parts, but as far as I understand it, it's an ongoing.
Yeah, it'll be like a vehicle to tell criminal-esque stories.
Whereas Sleeper was done in two 12-issue seasons.
Right.
I believe.
No. Well, this is meeting all the pre-release hype, and it's meeting it pretty strongly.
Cool.
It reads real well. Unlike some other books we read this week.
Yeah.
Should we get into the bad before we get into the good?
It so needs to be said. It was the first book I read, and the next day, on Wednesday, or on Thursday, all over the website, people were like, don't touch Detective! Don't touch Detective!
No, what's funny is that I didn't buy it.
Good.
Comics 825 was perhaps the worst comic I've read in the last 10 years.
It was right up there with the Punisher issue that Ron Zimmerman wrote where he went back to Al Capone time. Like, that's where it exists.
It was that bad?
Oh,
wow.
It was so bad.
It was a crime against comic-dom.
Comic book-dom?
Yes.
Yeah. It was so bad. I mean...
It was bad on every single level. The art was terrible, the story was stupid, dialogue was hokey.
I'm so glad I.
It was so out of character, and it was just I was angry that someone had been paid to do this as a professional. Like I'm reading this, going, this writer got work. How in the world did that happen? There are clearly a billion fanboys out there who could bullshit their way to a better
story. Clearly the writer got work because his name is Royal.
Royal McGraw. Well, we found our new Chuck Austin, and it is he.
I even think Chuck Austin looks like a genius compared to this.
I would
don't
agree.
Even, that's the blasphemy.
No, no, you need to read
it. It's really bad.
Wow. Well, I'm not touching the 10-foot pole, so there.
It's like this bad faux Alex Ross style.
I picked it up, and I looked at the cover, and I didn't see Paul Dini, and I just put it back.
I wish I'd noticed. I wouldn't have bought it.
Can't rush through the store. You got to take your time.
Yeah, I guess. Well, so. You know my store.
It is terrible.
So what's good, though?
Level.
Well, here's a good and a bad. Did either of you guys get Superman Confidential?
Yeah. Aye.
Okay, now, without talking about anything else, what did you think of the story and the art itself?
The art is beautiful, although yep. I kept expecting to see Hero.
Well, that's just a recent thing.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Ooh.
And the story, I mean, I like the story. I mean, I like the focusing on the Jimmy, Lois, Clark, and Clark can't leave to go save the volcano. I like that little scene. That was good. I thought it's setting up. It feels a little Jeff Loeb-esque in terms of the story, where there's a crime boss that they're trying to bring down, and it seems that it always seems to be like it's not a supervillain kind of thing, you know.
Well, it's better when it's that way.
But I was impressed. I mean, I'm a big fan of the retro. I love the logo.
I love the way he draws Superman, though. Except for the front, where he looks like he's squeezing in a poop. Yeah.
So, now can we get to why this wouldn't have been my pick?
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
The fucking 3D glasses.
Those slide out.
Well, it doesn't matter, because then there's a fucking 8-page Teen Titans story in the middle of the book.
I did notice that.
What the hell?
I wasn't sure if we were going to bring that up or not.
Oh, I'm going there. I'm bringing it up.
Clearly, that meeting you talked about last time
needs
is
to
not
happen
happening.
At DC. No, it didn't. It's not happening at Marvel, and now it's not happening at DC. Now, I can understand doing this in, fucking Action Comics or like one of the main title ones they do.
Yeah.
But I think this is more one of their boutique-y kind of titles.
Yeah,
you're right.
Especially with the cover. Someone's phone ringing.
Sorry. say boutique-y kind of titles.
Boutique-y kind of titles, and what with the cover and with everything, but. It's, you know, but then there's pirate 3D glasses thing.
I was happy that those just came right out, though, and I was okay after that.
Well, no, they're mine stapled in.
No, they're not stapled.
They are.
Oh, mine aren't.
Yeah, there's
mine slide out of the staple. Yeah.
You're
fine.
I see
how it is. Yeah.
That helps a lot.
But the Teen Titans thing doesn't help.
No.
But... So F that. Damn it.
Are you going to buy the next one?
Yeah.
So shut up.
I like the uncertain Superman. Doesn't know what can hurt him, what can't hurt him.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't really know the extent of his abilities.
Yeah, I really dug that. That was interesting.
All right, keep moving. Next, what was good?
Good. Jonah Hex.
Jonah Hex was very good. It would have been the pick, but I didn't like the art.
I liked the art.
Very, very childish and very simple.
I thought it was great. It was kind of.
It was very not polished.
See, here's what I've learned. I like things now, and no one else does.
We've come 180.
I don't know what's wrong.
On that topic, did you like Justice League of America?
I liked it.
No.
It, you know why? No one else liked it. But
it's the most disappointing title of the year.
It showed promise in number two, and now it's back to disappointing in number three.
I just felt like comics to me.
Compare it to the first three issues of Grant Morrison's Justice League.
Yeah.
How exciting and how much adventure was in that, as opposed to even I'm like, all right, come on.
I like the Where's Waldo cover. I'm looking for the red tornado with glasses.
I'm torn because I don't think I can legally drop a Justice League book.
You can't. I'm telling you now, you can't or you're fired.
I would if I had no qualms about it.
I don't mind it. I guess I just like the voice he writes in for whatever reason. I like the Jonah Hex art. I even liked Ant-Man this week.
I dropped Ant-Man. I didn't pick it up.
I could see why. No one else did either.
The talk on the website said it was terrible.
It's not terrible. I mean, it took a turn, and like basically the point is that Ant-Man is the jerk. That guy ended up with the costume. He is irredeemable, and he's horrible, and I can only assume he's going to receive his comeuppance.
Yeah, well, one would hope.
But
you think so?
Yeah, I didn't mind it. I love Phil Hester and Andy Park's art. I think that helps a lot, and I, you know.
Bucking the trend. Did either of you pick up Midnighter number one?
No.
It was good. I enjoyed it. I like Chris Brouse's art a lot, and
he's good.
while it wasn't rocket science, it didn't change the paradigm or anything, and also shows no difference from the previous Midnighter in the previous universe. Like Josh, I thought you would like this. I mean, it was Garth Ennis doing something well. you know, in comparison with that other title that I won't mention.
So this is also a reboot book?
Well, yeah, it's part of the WorldStorm reboot, but I see no
difference. Reboot that's actually not a reboot.
Yeah, it's a but it was good. I mean, I enjoyed it. I mean, I again, it's not nothing new. It's revisiting the same themes and the same ideas and everything, but it was good.
For me, unless something really great happens, the Authority ended after the second trade.
All right, fair enough.
Josh, why don't you tell the kids how you found me reading the nightly news?
I went, hey, Connor, have you heard of this Nightly News? It's a new series from Image. And he went, no, I hadn't heard of it. So I was like, well, I'll take a look at it. And he takes a look at it. And he went to get his books before me. And we see each other during the day. That's all I'm saying. And I walk in and I look at him and he's thinking real hard. He's looking at it. I go, how is that? I hadn't gone to get my books yet. And he's like, I don't know if it's good or not. I don't know if I like it or not. I don't know anything. And I kind of looked at it for a second. I said, that's it. I'm not buying it.
Yeah, that sums it up. It sums it up pretty well.
It was bad?
No, I don't know. it's weird. It's very, very weird. It's told in a very unconventional style. The art's good, but it's very out there. I can't even describe it. It's very strange.
This is what you said to me yesterday, and it didn't sound like you enjoyed it. So I was like, I'm not buying that.
This cabal of like beaten down men who've been beaten by the system, men whose lives are destroyed by the media, basically start killing people in the media. One guy's in the beginning, he's got a sniper rifle, and he kills some people with a sniper rifle solely to bring the camera crews and who are his real targets, and he shoots 35 television reporters. All because the media. I mean, it's very strange. It's a screed against the media, against all forms of media. But he uses some real names, but some fake names, and some real companies and some fake companies. And there's a clear Walter Cronkite stand-in. The same career highlights, but a different name. But then he also drops real names, and it's like go all the way. And blast the real people, or don't go at all. You can't put in a fake Walter Cronkite and then talk about Salzman and
given the new publishing philosophy at Image, I'm not surprised it got printed. We'll print anything.
So, I don't know. I don't.
that's
I don't.
A, that's a
I don't,
good thing.
I don't know how I feel about it.
Interesting.
I don't think I'm going to buy any more of it though.
All right, keep moving. Keep moving. We're doing quick things this week because we got special things coming up.
Yes, we do. My last two books I want to talk about quickly, and they're related in some ways, What If, featuring the Avengers Disassembled, and Fantastic Four The End, number one.
Three men and Fantastic Four?
No. It's just straight Fantastic Four The End.
That's a shitty title, then.
Both kind of alternate stories. What If is the first book. You know how we love the What Ifs.
We did, anyway.
And continuing, we don't anymore, because what they're doing is that this batch of What Ifs are examining What Ifs of stories that, like, just finished. Well, like Avengers Disassembled or Spider-Man the Other or X-Men Deadly Genesis. And the point with What If is you need distance from the story that it's what-ifing. It can't be something that I still remember.
That's a new verb right there.
Awful. Who was the creative team behind it?
Parker and Lopresti.
Peter Parker?
Jeff Parker wrote it, and Aaron Lopresti drew it. The art was fine. Right. Basically, the gist of What If Avengers was that Scarlet Witch went crazy because she was hooking up with Captain America, and he told her to do it. That's the gist.
What?
It was Captain America's
fault. That doesn't even make any sense.
I know.
You know what? The problem is they've lost the sight of what the What If was. The What If was you got to the you discovered the main moment in the story where things happened. And then you change that decision. Like Spider-Man doesn't stop. Instead of not stopping the criminal, he does stop the criminal and never becomes a superhero. Like you find the most important moment and you have the character make a different decision. You don't change the story like that completely.
Right.
It's examining the consequences.
What if Captain America was an asshole? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's examining the consequence of decision making and how one decision can change the world. And that's the whole point of the What If story. Ugh.
Conversely, Fantastic Four The End, which is part of this ongoing series where they explore each of the main characters and how their stories might end, was written and drawn by Alan Davis, who is a personal favorite of mine, and it was fantastic. It takes place way in the future. They've colonized space, led by Reed Richards, and basically, like, the Thing is married to Alicia Masters, and they're living on Mars. Johnny Storm is an Avenger. And Sue is off doing archaeological digs on Earth.
With Namor?
No, she's not with Namor, but she gets into an argument with Namor. But she's, you know, basically Reed has self-isolated himself in his experiments, and everybody's gone to their extremes of their personalities, and I can only assume that something's going to bring them back together to the family that they once were. And it's an interesting
weird twist.
It was – no, but it was – it looked beautiful, and it's read beautiful, and it was a great kind of alternate kind of, like, dimension future where, like, Iron Man is still in the Avengers, and at one point he explodes. And they say, don't worry, you know, Tony's been dead for years. He'll just download into a new armor. His mind will just download into new armor. And then, like, two pages later, there's a new armor. Like, hey, guys, you know, like, it's –
he's a Cylon.
Right, yeah, basically. So, but, you know – great example of how you can do an alternate kind of future, an alternate timeline story. Really.
Well, Alan Davis is very good, so yeah, that helps.
Go back and pick it up.
I can't believe I'm the one doing this, but we said we were going to be short, people.
Yes, I know. So, Ben, anything else?
I'm dropping the other side.
To be honest with you, I didn't anticipate the long-winded nightly news explanation.
Eh, what are you going to do?
All right.
That wasn't long-winded.
It was a little bit. All right, so what else we got?
That's it.
I'm dropping the other side from Vertigo, the Vietnam story. That's all.
Wow. All right.
Two issues. Boring.
Yeah.
A lot of people like it.
Oh, and Uncanny X-Men got dropped by two of us.
Yep.
Nah, you're all losers.
No.
It was good this week.
Maybe a smaller sword would have helped.
Maybe some sort of story.
So, okay, well, now we move on to the fun part. So we've dedicated the rest of this hour-long episode to letters and feedback from you guys, which is really cool. But to get us started, we have a voicemail from our friend Augie, so let's play that.
An ode to Ed Brubaker's Daredevil on the occasion of iFanboy's first anniversary. Bonjour les hommes du fan au iFanboy.com. Je m'appelle Auguste à thepipelinepodcast.com. Premier anniversaire heureux, mon ami. Maintenant, ma question. Quelle bande dessinée est le meilleur pour ma fiancée? Strangers in Paradise? Bone? Box office poisson? Et combien chaude il fait-il dans cette chambre? Ron retentit juste comme Josh. Merci beaucoup. Et premier anniversaire heureux.
I hate that he sounds better than us. Except his French is not better. If anybody else out there knows French, you know what that criminal in Daredevil felt like.
Well, his French wasn't that much better than ours.
No, his voice sounds better. His French sounds terrible, and I'm pretty sure it was a lot of wrongness in there.
But either way, it was very funny.
Do you know what he's asking?
He said that it's Augie from the Pipeline Podcast, and happy anniversary, iFanboy, and can you recommend a book for my fiance?
Yeah.
And then he can't tell us apart?
Yeah.
There's something about you and I, how we sound, and then happy anniversary.
Yeah, you got it.
And he doesn't actually need us to recommend a book for his fiance. He can probably do that himself.
Well, bone and box office poison, very different. Although he said poisson, which actually means fish.
Yes, box office fish.
Augie, you should recommend for your fiance to read Scrooge McDuck. That's what I say. All right. So what have we done now, guys?
We've almost forgotten to do the sponsor.
Yes.
Damn.
We are sponsored by comicult.com, your place online to go buy new issues. You can subscribe. A lot of the fellow iFanboys out there in the world are using them, which is pretty cool. And you can pick up trade paperbacks for up to, you know, between 30 and 50% off, and new issues up to 40% off. They've got great shipping options, and they really take care of you. They really care about you, the reader. So go to comicult.com and tell them iFanboy sent you.
Definitely.
All right. So, we're going to stop for now, but that doesn't mean the show's over.
Because the other day we sat down, because we did, listen, this isn't happening in real time. This is the first time we've had to do this in multiple chunks. So for the next long period of time, we're going to answer every damn, well, we're going to attempt to answer, we're going to read a lot of questions.
Exactly.
That's what we're telling you. Because apparently we don't know everything. We act like we do, sure. But that is not the case. And then stick around at the end, because there is a special surprise coming up.
Yes, definitely worth it to stick around. And we hope you enjoyed this brief Pick of the Week podcast, and I guess we'll see you on the other side. All right, let's get on with it. We have
a metric ton.
A shit ton, as I like to say.
A Googleplex.
A lot.
We have a lot of letters, and we've been holding them off and saving them, and you're going to keep sending them.
And we always say that we respond to everybody. In the past couple of weeks, we haven't been because we've been hoarding them to do on this podcast. So we hope you understand and hope the delay is enough. Because
you're like, dude, should they respond? I didn't respond to anything.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's too many to waste with our chatty chat.
All right, well, let's start. So our first one comes from Lance from Hamilton, Texas. First off, he wants to know if any of us watch or like Star Trek, and if so, which series?
Yes. I think Ron and I.
Yeah.
You don't like Star Trek, do you, Josh?
No. I'm shaking. If I was on video, I would be shaking my head now, just like... Mm-mm.
Well, I want to clarify that I'm a big fan of the original series and Next Generation, and that's pretty much where I stop. I watched a little Deep Space Nine, but then I dropped off.
I like the movies.
The movies are good.
The movies are very
good. I enjoy
good.
The movies.
Four is the best one.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I watched probably more Deep Space Nine than you did, but really, Kirk and the original series and Picard, and that's about it.
The original series is awesome.
I'd fight Shatner.
I watched the first Voyager, and I was like, ugh.
Yeah, it's bad.
And then Enterprise, that was bad, too.
All right, so his second question is, Enterprise was awful.
Yeah.
And it's Scott Bakula.
So tragic.
So his second question is, did any of us pick up the Green Lantern, The Greatest Stories Ever Told? It included Showcase number 22, Green Lantern Volume 2, number 1, 37, 4, 87, and 172, Green Lantern Volume 3, number 3, The Flash Green Lantern Brave and the Bold, number 2, and Green Lantern Secret Files. What do we think of some of those stories? He thought it was a great collection.
Oh no, I'm not familiar with this.
But and you have a Green Lantern tattoo.
Pick up, tattoo boy.
No, I have.
It's not a Hal tattoo. It's a John Stewart.
I have the.
Is it a John Stewart tattoo? No, it's a Hal tattoo.
Could be really. I have the Green Lantern, Green Arrow, Hard Traveling Heroes hardcover slipcase. We all have that.
Yes. Yeah.
The most beautiful book ever done.
We all bought it.
Neil Adams covers.
Yep.
And I have like the DC equivalent of Marvel Masterworks.
Showcase.
Yeah, I have that.
But you don't have this.
I don't have that. I have the Green Lantern one that has like Showcase 22 on for like the next 10 issues or something like that.
Well, but the question isn't what you have. The question is, do you have this?
Well, I don't need that. I have the other thing I have. And
this sounds like a great collection. None of us have it.
Somebody's getting it for Christmas.
I don't want it.
You can't turn down a gift.
You can do.
Thank you, Lance, for your question.
All right, I'll do the next.
Yep.
David wrote to us, and he asked if any of us have read any of the Virgin comics. Do we like them? Are these guys a sample of the comic scene in India, or have they been imported by Richard Brantley?
That's
I think he meant Brantley. Yeah. Or whatever his name is. There
doesn't
you go.
Mean Richard Branson?
Okay. So, well, yeah, Richard know. Branson. Yeah, who's Richard Brantley?
Stupid Frank Cho.
Wasn't he a pitcher?
I don't know. That's Jeff Bradley.
Right. Anyway, I've never read any of the... Well, no, I read that sampler that this Virgin sent us a sampler, which was all right. I'm not really into the Indian culture.
Oh, God. Oh, some people have ways of saying things that don't sound horrible and xenophobic, and you don't.
I do it on purpose.
I couldn't even read that sampler because the art was so, like, mid-90s that I couldn't get into it.
Yeah. But would you read the John Woo Garth Ennis jam? The Seven Brothers thing that's just coming out now.
Depending on the art, really. Because the art was really mid-90s image
it style. It reminded me a lot of Jay Lee, actually. Yeah, I thought you might like
it. No, it wasn't Jay Lee at all. It was.
Oh, you like Jay Lee. No, Jay Lee, not Jim Lee. Jay Lee.
So
Jay
I was,
Lee.
That's a no for that one.
I tried to get through it, and I read about three pages, and I didn't really.
Whether they're sample of the comic scene in India or they've been imported by Richard Brantley, I mean...
Branson.
Who knows? Branson, right? Who knows?
Who's this Brantley fellow? So there's our ignorance, I'm sorry. But I think people like...
We don't like things that aren't Marvel or DC.
I haven't... That's not true.
I know, I'm joking.
No, I have. You know what? I haven't heard a thing about them, quite honestly.
I haven't heard anything bad.
There's been
or
not
good
a peep.
Or anything. Yeah.
It's not good a peep,
so that's not a good sign. Does he really need to read Stormwatch and The Authority to appreciate the relaunch, or can I go in cold turkey?
You would think that you wouldn't need to.
I just recommend that... Stormwatch and Authority are both really good.
Yeah, you should read them regardless.
The second Authority trade, I think, or was it two or three? After Miller's run ended, I stopped reading the Authority because anything I looked at after that wasn't even close. You don't need to read Stormwatch to read the Authority. I think I read them out of order a little bit, but after I read the Authority, I wanted more so much I went back and I borrowed the Stormwatch from somebody or something. But those first two Authority trades really are essential reading.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever read the Stormwatch.
Stormwatch is really good. I collected Stormwatch from the beginning, actually.
Hitch did those too?
Before the Authority.
It was
Tom
Rainey?
Rainey, yeah. No, that was later.
I think it was Hitch and Ellis.
Hitch and Ellis ended Stormwatch.
Yeah. And they went into the Authority. But,
and in the middle of it, though, there's like an issue that takes place between them, and it's like Aliens versus Stormwatch or something, but it's part of that whole story.
Oh, yeah.
It's something weird. Like
I don't remember at all.
No,
it's all blank. But you would think that you wouldn't need to read the previous Stormwatch and the Authority to enjoy the latest relaunch. So just
dive
right
in. Don't know.
But, you know, if you listen to the podcast, you've heard me talk smack about Warren Ellis. the reason that I talk smack about Warren Ellis is because I liked The Authority so much. And I thought it was so well thought out that I think a lot of things that came after that weren't as good.
It's the disappointment. It's my whole thing with disappointment and lack of... lack of doing what they're good at.
Yeah. You know, although I got to tell you, I'm really totally impressed with Fell these days. I'm really digging that.
All right, Darren writes in. He says, a few years ago, he read the first 5 books of Invincible based on a recommendation of a clerk. I'm assuming he means the first 5 issues.
Yeah, sure.
He really liked how they read, but he was visiting...
Atomic
Comics in Phoenix. He liked the books, but he was only visiting Phoenix. He lives 200 miles from the closest comic book store, which is bad. He found an online comic store that does have subscriptions, and he's got the money. He's thinking of catching up. Is it worth it? This one's like this is a softball question.
And he actually says, maybe you guys can get more money from Kirkman. No, it's actually the worst comic book in print. Don't stay away from the plague.
Was that comichole.com?
Hopefully.
They have online subscriptions, I believe.
Yes, of course you should pick it up.
I'm telling you, it's the best superhero book on the market right now.
All right, so our next question comes from Jeff from Greeley, Colorado. He knows there's a lot of people who like it when we talk about indie books, not him particularly, but he can't remember us ever talking about Cerebus. He's read almost all of the Cerebus phone books and has mixed feelings about them. Yeah. He thought some of them were brilliant, some of them were good, and some completely unreadable or misogynist. What do we think? The Cerebus question is a funny question that's been tossed around the iFanboy offices recently.
Mm-hmm.
We have not read nearly as much as we probably should have.
I've only read the first phone book.
Yeah.
I read the first phone book, and I hear that after that, it really turns into a big epic story. I have a feeling that misogyny or not, I bet it's real good.
Well, I think if anytime you've got a series that long, you're going to have some that are really good, some that are unreadable, some that are mediocre. I mean,
I've had Cerebus books on my Christmas list for like the past 6 years, and like nobody in my family, like I guess they're scared off
mine,
by
Christmas.
Mine fell apart. My first phone book.
Well, they're not very well put together. Yeah.
It's possible that I have 4 gigs of that somewhere.
I didn't hear that.
But as far as what we think, we know that it's a modern indie masterpiece.
Yes.
And someday I will read them all.
It's the indie book.
Yeah.
After hearing them on hearing Dave Sim on Indie Spinner Rack, like I was like, I must read these.
Yeah, he was great. It was awesome.
Yep.
He's got one quick question before we move on. Which upcoming projects are we looking forward to the most? He can't wait for the Donner, Jeff Johns, Action Comics run. For him, comics are the best when there are good creative teams on Batman and or Superman.
Well, it already happened, so...
We talked about that last week, but...
Yeah. But what other things are we looking forward? Like, what books are you waiting to come out?
See, I've stopped paying attention to the future solicitations.
Me too.
I don't really know much about what's coming out.
Yeah. Personally, I'm waiting for Civil War to end. Well,
honestly,
like, I'm kind of a little sick of the Civil War thing. I kind of want it to be over.
You just want the books to be back on their own.
I want Mighty Avengers. I want to see what's going on with Mighty Avengers.
Mighty Avengers, I guess, could be the Franco and
Bendis.
Yeah. Yeah, Civil War is dragging on a lead along.
Yeah, and DC, I guess, the end of 52. I mean, like, it's like we're in this marathon.
We're not even halfway.
I don't think anything's even coming out.
But 52 isn't affecting everything else.
Yeah, it's
you
true,
say. It's it no, will. It.
Moving on.
Stink Eye. I believe it's mine. Joe from Rock Hill, South Carolina, asked if we individually or collaboratively could write an arc of any character or team in comics, who would it be?
Well, first off, we should not be collaboratively. That's a bad idea.
You have no idea how much we disagree on how things should be done.
No!
It's a miracle this thing gets done every week.
A lot is not one word.
Ron, so we're going to do individually. Ron, if you could write, do you have any desire to write comics?
No, I do. I fantasize every once in a while.
I think every comic reader does.
And I would write. I would write the X-Men. I mean, that's what I mean, it's lame, but that's
what would
you do
that hasn't been done?
I would go apeshit crazy. It would be awesome. No, I mean, I would. What I would do is
He'd write the definitive Cyclops tale, wouldn't you?
Yeah, no, I would bring it back. You know what? I really liked the X-Men on the Run in Australia stories in the early 200s, and I wouldn't want to replicate that, but I'd want that same feeling of energy. And like, I love it. Like, they had a table with their little logos on the chairs, kind of like the Justice League. Yeah, and as a kid, I loved that. I loved like, oh, that's Havoc's chair. That's, you know, like I would pay.
That's not a story. That's a prop.
But what I'm saying is, I pare down the characters to just a core 7 team and
17 characters.
7 team. Team of 7.
Because 7 team makes sense from the X-Men. There's a lot of them.
But that's what I would do, and I'd try to take it back to its roots, but in a new and innovative way.
Connor.
Ironically, I'd probably
bullshit.
Choose the Justice League simply because you don't have to worry so much about continuity. You can just tell a story, not worry about it.
It could be any time.
You can. The characterizations are always a little off. You don't have to worry. You know. I leave a lot of room for error, and I think that book leaves the most room for error. Plus, I think it would be a lot of fun just to play around with all the characters and not have to worry about one or the other.
I'm, you know, I've thought about this a lot, and I think there's a lot of things to do. I think the things that I think are going to be the most fun for me would be something like
Plastic Man.
Maybe that, but I was thinking like Green Lantern and Flash, like those buddy trip stories.
Yeah, those are always fun.
You know, where like the two guys who, or maybe the two who don't get along, or are buddies and they get like that kind of thing. The two buddies want to, the only other thing I would maybe do is it would be the Inhumans. I'd love to do that because they have their own world and not everybody knows much about it.
It's
so you
not
can
that affected.
Yeah,
Inhumans whore. All right, Mark writes in. He says, ever heard of these guys? Alan Moore, Garth Ennis, Grant Morrison, Frank Quitely, Mark Millar. I mean, I could go on and on, but the point is that they all started on this UK weekly called 2000 AD, which, as far as I can see, is pretty much completely ignored by all comic book podcasts. Anyway, there's a major story arc just starting in number 1505, The Origin of Judge Dredd, a story not told in 30 years that 2000 AD has been running by the original creators John Wagner and Carlos Ezquerra.
Cover.
The cover for 1505 by Brian Bolland. How about dipping your toes in and trying it out?
You know, he is absolutely correct.
If that we 2000, could find it.
Yeah, 2000 AD is not because we're in America and it's a UK weekly.
You don't get. We can't get it here?
I have not. I honestly.
I've never seen it.
I've never seen it. I know it exists.
And quite and honestly, a weekly from the UK that's on issue 1500, that's daunting. I'm gonna be like, you know.
Well, no, but it's like kind of it's an anthology.
Anthology.
Yeah, it's not an ongoing.
Yeah.
I don't really like anthologies.
Like Cerebus, I know it exists and I know how important it's been because I'm pretty sure didn't 2000 AD didn't they run like all the Miracle Man, the Wonder Man stuff
that's
and
stuff
where it
like that?
From. Like I know it. Well, no, I mean that's not where. I mean, yeah, I mean that's.
What I mean,
it
was, but it's where that talent was farmed. It's where you know these guys got their chops.
I know it exists. It's
just I guess I've never seen it either.
I've never seen it either.
I'm sure we should look, store somewhere that's
look
got
in,
it.
If it's anywhere, it's going to be in Midtown.
Or Hanley's.
I know it exists, and I've always been curious, but I've never done it. So
it's not. Cause I think it's one of those things, like, I know I'm never going to be able to go back and read all of it, so I don't want to go
But it's
in
not
there.
Connected.
It doesn't matter.
It's like, kind of like those Rolling Stones records
weird.
That I don't remember the names of. It's like, yeah, I know they exist. I don't like the one in 79, when the video when they're in the dome with the soap.
Let's move on.
Anyway. All right.
It's not that we're xenophobic though.
Yeah, no, not at all. I don't like the British. No. I love the British. That's the irony. All right, our next question comes from Michael Mastropietro. He wants to know what is the music at the beginning and the end of the podcast.
You have the best name ever, Michael.
He does. He wants to know what the music is at the beginning and the end of the podcast. He's been enjoying it. Can we recommend some bands he may not have heard of? Well, the music changes every episode and whoever edits it, and I've been doing the majority of the editing, but Josh has edited a few in there. We pick what song, you know, we just pick a song we like from our libraries. Every week you can go look on the post and we show what's...
Go to ifanboy.com and the show notes list the music for every episode.
And if you go to ifanboy.com and click podcast, there's a whole listing of all the podcasts and you can click the show notes to see what the songs are. We're not going to go through every one.
There's a link to the albums and stuff like
that. Bands he may not have heard of.
You know what? Just
the
look
Beatles.
Through the thing. You know, like, hear one of the shows, listen to the thing you like. If you like what it sounds like, go there. Then you can click on the Amazon link, and you can listen to the samples of the songs and things like that.
Yeah.
Look them up on Pitchfork or something like that.
Yeah. So, but mainly if it's indie, and it's...
We've we take that part really seriously. Because, like, we kind of want to show...
How
like,
cool we are.
How cool we are, totally. But at the same time, like, it's got to work... And
it's got to reflect the energy of the show.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot goes into it. And,
it does.
And sometimes it's like, all right, I'm going to pull one from the archives, like one from 10 years ago that maybe people forgot about.
I get
about,
the feeling that Ron spends song. More time picking the music than does editing the show.
Quite honestly, picking the picking the music is the easiest decision.
Really?
I just like that one.
You can tell from me which ones I do, because mine always have the same kind of, they will come in really fast, because it'll say, this is ifanboy.com episode 30, blah, 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 and they're like, blah, 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 blah. And then it comes out.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll do a contest where you'd be like, which one did he do?
Yeah. But sometimes, like a couple weeks ago, like on Tuesday before we recorded the show, I knew what song we were using, regardless of what
I've got a list
was.
Of them, because I don't edit them as much as Ron. So when I do, I'm all...
So, all right. So his second question is, a while back we described Warren Ellis's work as having cynical but hopeful main characters, with the exception of Next Wave. But what about Desolation Jones? He loves the book, but the main character doesn't seem to have the hope of Ellis's other leads like Fell.
Well, his name is Desolation.
I never read it either.
So
we're just swinging, striking out left and right
on you.
We're hacks.
You're lucky we read Fell.
I've always wanted to pick up Desolation Jones. Maybe now I will. And then finally he says, P.S., he's not actually bitter about the name, but if we guys could say it correctly, he'd be very grateful.
Michael Mastropietro.
How do we know?
In fact, he's got Quicksilver's name in there.
He does, Pietro. All right.
Craig from Oklahoma said he was searching the internet for a new desktop wallpaper for his PC, and it occurred to him he wishes he had an official iFanboy desktop wallpaper. Well, that means you're a nerd.
Why?
I don't even want official iFanboy desktop wallpaper.
We could probably throw that together pretty easy. But yeah. That'll be one of those things like, oh yeah, we'll do that, and then we never will remember.
All right, well, here's the deal. If 10 people can email us saying they want wallpaper, then we'll make a couple.
That's good.
Yeah, so, 10. It's gotta 10. Be 10.
Do you want our faces?
Yeah. Oh, we can choose how it's going to work.
Just wondering, have you ever thought of creating some different ones for your site? No, we haven't until you wrote this. But
he says he's an addicted listener like himself to download. that scares me.
That's crazy.
Well, thank you, Craig, for liking us so much.
If people want this,
10 people.
Let us know.
10 of you.
We can whip that up.
10 emails by the next show.
If it's 9, you're out of luck.
Yep.
Anne Marie from Miami, Florida writes in, and a while back we asked for what manga we should read, and she suggested Ghost in the Shell.
I've actually read that.
Was it good?
Yeah. I read it after watching the movie.
Really?
Isn't it like a long...
Yeah, well, whatever was the movie.
When the movie
came out in college, I was like, that's the thing I forgot to talk about. Back in college, I saw Ghost in the Shell, and I went through the Akira phase.
Ties into her question, which is, what are the main differences between... differences and similarities between American comics and manga?
Well, American comics are good.
Oh,
I'm kidding. I'm joking.
This alienate the listeners episode.
I'm joking. No, I went through.
We're not the people to ask that question.
I attempted manga when Ghost in the Shell came out, and I was just like, I don't, you know, this is black and white.
I read Akira, that's it.
I read the first three books of Akira, I think, and there's six. Or Akira.
I mean, the differences are is that I feel as if manga is a lot faster, maybe because of all the speed lines.
It's true. When I would read the Akira trades, I mean, I'm flipping through the pages fast. And I did find them quite satisfying. Yeah. Same thing with Lone Wolf and Cub.
So. All right, cool. Well, I hope that answers your question. Yeah. All right, our next question comes from Shane. Great name. He knows we're tired of zombie comics, but other than Walking Dead, what other zombie comics are worth picking up?
Well, you called us. You called us out, because I don't think any of us are...
Marvel Zombies.
Oh, I really
that was it. Mine. Now you guys got to pick one.
I don't read zombie books at all. I don't know my car. So, yeah. You're the zombie guy.
The reason that I like Walking Dead is because it's not a zombie book. I mean, it is a zombie book, but that's not what that book is about. And a lot of times when you go into horror books, they're really just about the horror part. And the reason that Walking Dead works is it's a story about people and what happens to them. It's like the zombies are sort of in the background, but they're not a character, really.
Right.
They're the environment.
I'm just tired of the horror. It's not so much zombies, but the horror genre.
Yeah,
it's less with comics.
You know, that really happened after 30 Days a Night. It amplified for Walking Dead.
The vampires.
I tried to read some of that crap. Steve Niles stuff.
I bought 30 Days of
you
Night.
Know what he'll do.
Oh. Steal my wife.
Oh, I didn't say it.
I bought it sight unseen from all the hype, and
my number is 818.
It was good, but not great. It was more of a mind-blowingly simple yet brilliant concept.
It's a brilliant pitch.
It's a brilliant concept.
High concept pitch.
Yeah.
And not well executed. But when I read it, I was like, "Damn, that's brilliant." And no one's ever thought of that.
Did you go, "Damn"?
I did. I went, "Damn it!"
Which is different than when he really likes something. And he goes, "Woo." Coming at you in stereo.
All right, so thank you, Shane. Next question comes from V. Smith.
Vicious. Vicious?
Vicus.
Vicus? Oh, I don't... Wow.
Yeah.
He's been on the site.
He has been on the site.
And he wants to share his email so he can get responses to this. So you asked for it. It's V-I-C-H-U-S-S-M-I-T-H. Really boring last name. Really interesting first name. @gmail.com. The question he should be asking all... this is a question I should be asking all podcasts I listen to, but you're my first victims. Have any of you guys checked out the new Fantastic Four cartoon? I think that it's a good translation of the comic, and the most faithful aspect is in the science. Johnny Storm is easily the most annoying character of the show, and the Thing having a four painted on his stomach bugs me. Well, I haven't seen it.
That's weird.
That sounds annoying. The first episode I saw was with Ronan the Accuser. Ron's giggling.
Ronan?
Yeah. How do you know? You ever met him?
It's not Ronan.
How do you know?
Because I've heard Marvel people say Ronan.
All right. Ronan the Accuser. And the second was with Dr. Doom himself. Those are pretty strong villains to bring out at the start of the story. Today I caught the Legion of Superheroes, and I dig it just because I have a little knowledge of the Legion. I think this series will do very well, and the whole premise of Young Superman in the future is excellent.
Once again, nothing.
I don't really watch cartoons anymore, just because I watch so much other stuff.
I just don't.
Yeah,
I think I was trying right up until the point where the Justice League cartoon came out, and I was kind of like, you know, I'm not really interested anymore. I think when Paul Dini left those cartoons, I didn't pay any attention anymore.
I think that the bar is set so high from those Batman, Superman cartoons that anything else is going to be disappointing.
What, I tried to watch Teen Titans Go, and I just
it's just not good. Yeah, yeah.
I tried to watch the Batman.
I had a seizure.
That's not good either.
But what I want to know is, Vicious Smith, why should you be asking this question to all podcasts? Like, what, like, does your dad work on the show? like, are you associated with it? Like, why? It's like his mission to find out what we think of Fantastic Four or the Fantastic Four cartoon.
We're the tastemakers.
Yeah, I guess so.
But, yeah, I don't know. None of us got to it.
All right, Carlos from Whitestone writes...
We barely have time to read comics.
Carlos from Whitestone writes, he was just wondering if we had heard about an upcoming Buffy the Vampire Slayer comic series written by Joss Whedon that takes place where the show left off.
Why did we choose these questions? Because we don't have answers
to
any
of them. I heard about
really?
This. And I could be making this up, but I remember hearing that it's not happening.
That sounds right, because he's really busy.
Connor, yes. you watched Buffy.
Well, that's
his third question.
Oh. Yeah. I do have a brief story about Buffy the Vampire Slayer comics. They got me action in comic in college.
They got you what?
Action in college.
Buffy the Vampire
action?
Slayer
what do you
comics.
By action? Like
the
they
comics.
Got your ass?
Yeah.
They got you some loving?
Yeah, they did. Because there was a cute girl across the hall, and she really liked Buffy.
Cute nerd girl.
Nice.
And we were chatting one day, and I was like, well, I'm going to get comics. And I was like, oh, there's a Buffy comic. And so...
Was it the one Terry Moore did? That's the only Buffy comic.
No, I don't know. It was
bought.
Issue one. It was literally issue one, and I bought it, and I slipped it under her door, and then, you know, later on.
One thing led to another?
The business. All right.
Add another notch to the belt.
So...
The chick magnet.
Right.
Persists.
His next question is, what happened to the Buffy animated series? I'm sure we got canceled. Finally...
Didn't make it very far, like 8 episodes or something.
Yeah, no, they okay, I remember this. I remember this. They made it, like they exist, or the scripts exist. They never made the show.
They made some of them, and then there are other scripts.
Yeah. Because
Jeff Loeb was like the executive producer of that show.
Right. And it was like
and
a
then,
shame.
And then he went to Smallville, and then he went to Lost, and then he went to...
He's like a Midas Touch.
He's a serial seriesist.
He is, yeah.
His final question is, what Whedon shows, Buffy, Angel, Firefly, did we like, if were we fans of?
And if not, what are our favorite sci-fi fantasy shows?
I liked Buffy the first, like, 3-4 seasons, and then I got tired of it. I loved Angel, which was darker.
You love Angel.
Really?
It was really dark, and it was very much like Batman.
He
went to our college.
Yeah, it did.
Read out from under me. We're even now, Richards.
Oh, really? Did you? Was that what you were going to say?
Yeah.
Borneas.
Angel was very dark, and it was very much like Batman.
If it could represent, yo.
Yep. And Firefly, I loved also.
I really never watched Buffy for some reason, like the cutesy dialogue didn't get to me. I don't think I would. But I was strangely intrigued by Firefly, and I started watching it, and the first 2 episodes I was like, I don't get it, this is stupid. 4 more later I was like, what's the next one? Where is it?
It's like crack.
It was oddly, like, it was so different and interesting.
It's a great combination of Western and sci-fi.
Yeah, it was just unique, and I really appreciated it.
The movie was not that good.
The movie was not really good, but it touched me when things happened in it, and I was like, oh, that's really sad or good. Depending
on what happened.
I tried really hard to watch Buffy, like, concertedly. Like, when it was on, I remember in college I tried, because we used to watch Felicity, and Felicity was right after it, and we used to, I used to love the production
logo,
company. And I was like, well, the show's gotta be good. And I tried to watch it for like a season, and it just never stuck. Mm-hmm. And I never watched Angel, and I still have to watch Firefly. As far as favorite sci-fi fantasy shows, I'm a big fan of the OC.
That's as close as he gets.
Yeah, so. All right.
Ron, you're not like a sci-fi fan at all. You like Star Wars and comic books, and that's...
No, I'm
like
a Star Trek.
Star Trek.
I'm a classic. I mean, I went through a big sci-fi phase in high school and college where I read a lot, and like now I'm just kind of, you know...
I don't watch a lot of sci-fi shows. I watch Battlestar Galactica, and I read sci-fi books. I read Neil Stevenson.
That's how many sci-fi shows are there on? Like, you're watching the sci-fi show right now. Battlestar Galactica. Fantasy.
I never watched Star Trek though, or any of those. Like, yeah,
which is
those
canon.
Are great.
That's kind of odd. It's like it's almost like like when the DVDs with the new, because they're doing the HD treatment.
Yeah, yeah.
When those come out, and I buy those, it's like we're gonna sit down and we're gonna watch all 3 seasons. Like, that's what's gonna happen.
If you could see this right now, they're both looking at me like the look that says you have no choice in this matter.
You haven't lived till you've seen The City on the Edge of Forever.
Yeah,
one of the best single episodes of a TV show ever.
Okay, I believe you.
That was Harlan Ellison, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And Liz Taylor. Was it Liz Taylor? Or Joan Collins? Or one of those women?
Joan Collins. Great episode.
Wasn't she the writer?
Let's not get into this now.
This is not...
We've got lots of letters.
Okay. Our next one comes from Chris from our favorite place, Slough, England.
Chris from the site, right? Chris?
Yeah, it could be.
Chris Morley, yeah. It's Chris Morley.
Okay. So, one of you young gentlemen... Well, that's where you're wrong there, mister. One of you gentlemen mentioned
how
you...
That's just how British people talk.
How you picked up American Virgin #1. Yeah, I'm going back away here. And weren't sure what you thought of it, and we're going to give it more issues before you pass judgment. I was in a similar position until about #5 when I suddenly decided I liked it. mainly because the protagonist was making beautiful love to a coffin, and that was kind of funny. Anyway, did any of you stick with this book, and what did you think of it?
Ready? Ready? That was the sound of me dropping a book, which I did before issue. I think I just dropped it.
While I was reading, I was distracted as he was moving things around to prep for that, so I apologize.
What happened?
Isn't Becky drawing it now? Becky Cloonan, isn't she?
She has been the whole time. Yeah.
What's the problem with it? Why it sucked?
I just didn't care.
I like I talk about her like we know her.
I was about to point it out, and then I stopped.
Isn't Becky on there?
Yeah.
What was I listening to? Somebody kept doing that. Like, one of the podcasts, it was an interview, and he kept referring to everybody in the first person. It was really bugging me. Yeah. People he couldn't have known.
Yeah.
It's like when
people root for sports teams and they say, we're going to win.
Yeah. Like, that drives me nuts.
We are going to win.
I don't know. It was very... I'm not going to say it was shock value-y, but, like, I just... Oh, Christ.
The boys.
I just didn't get the point. I didn't know where they were going with it, and I got bored. There was no ongoing story that I was interested in.
That's fine.
Okay, the next one comes from Liam. He says... You guys seem to mention a lot that you were in the same college, which I believe we just did, although not friends at the time, if I get the story right.
Not exactly, for some of the time.
It seems very rare to find any comic collectors who didn't give them up for university college, either because of cash flow or because, quote, it's not cool, unquote. I just started university, which means he's British, and wondered how you lot, also British, managed to keep your hobby up despite having a lot of bills and such as most students have.
He could be Canadian. I'll tell you what, Liam. I got a job.
Yeah, I worked.
I remember you had an Amex card in college, too.
Well, I did that for that as well. But I also worked at the library, and that paid for my comics and my cable.
Slinging food at the dining hall paid for comics.
I did not drink in college.
Well,
so that
paid for beer and college.
Yeah. I delivered pizza.
Yeah, so we worked. We worked, Liam.
And also, the not cool thing is ridiculous.
None of us have ever paid attention, clearly.
That was never, cool was never a concern, really.
We made it cool.
Yeah, bitches. We
did. All right, The Dark Shake writes in, how do you usually get a hold of your books? Local shops or online sites such as Midtown Comics or Comical.com? What do you guys feel are the best benefits of each, or is one truly the way to go? Myself, I'm a local comic shop hound, and I'd like to hear your take on the subject.
I'm pro-local comic shop. I go to the same store every week, and I hang out there for 45 minutes and talk shop.
Dork! Yeah. No. You know what? I think
when I'm in the mood. And then other times I try to sneak out.
If I didn't have to do this where I had to do the pick every time...
If I didn't have to do this...
No! I'd throw it down. I'm out of here. No, if I didn't have to do this, I would seriously look at getting my comics delivered like a couple of times a month or something like that. That wouldn't bother me.
I look forward to going to the
store. Well, I think if you live anywhere near where there's no stores near you, then that's the way to go.
But if you have a good store, you should go.
Yeah. Well, the benefit of not having the delivery places if you don't live near one.
Right.
The next question he had is, how short is Jim Lee?
Well, Dark Shake, have you seen him in person? He's knee-high to a grasshopper.
He's like at the lower end of 5.
Maybe a little. The hat helps him. You notice he's always wearing that baseball hat.
He's not less than 5 feet. He's not a pygmy.
And the lifts. He's got lifts in his shoes.
I swear, he was in Bob Shrek's pocket.
You know what, though? You can smell the money coming off of it.
Yeah, you can. It's like a trail. It's like, anyway. All right, so our next question comes from Danny. He has one question about a comic he really likes and never before has been mentioned on the podcast and never has been picked for the pick of the week.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Next Wave has never been on the pick of the week, and he's wondering why, because he thinks this is the number one of the best comics ever. Warren Ellis really rocks and is giving one of his best writing. It's this kind of humor I really like, and I really think it deserves a pick of the week. Is anyone from you reading this comic, by the way? It's the best stuff I've ever seen from Marvel. It's completely not Marvel style as we are used to it. It belongs more in an indie corner. So that's why I'm really surprised about it, and I really like it! !
Too late.
Well, Danny, you can make your own website and choose it.
Well, apparently, we
were right and you were wrong.
Exactly, because it's been canceled.
I bought the first issue.
I bought the first issue.
I didn't like it.
Yeah, boo. Ooh, I didn't like it.
I didn't even buy the first issue.
I get it. He wears little shorts. Ha ha ha. End of story.
Go ahead.
And it's been canceled. iFanboy 1, Danny 0.
This person with one of those internet names, PMCHugh131081, says, hey guys, I'm a first-time listener from the UK. This is the all-UK page. And I was wondering if you would have to choose a side between Iron Man's 4 registration and Caps Against registration. This is the what side would you choose?
What side are you on?
Cap.
I'm with Jarvis.
I'm with Ambush Bug. No,
I'm pretty sure he's with Cap.
Wait, Ambush Bug is DC.
Yeah,
I learned that because Augie won't let me not forget it. He's been on my ass ever since that show.
Ambush Bug is the
Captain America.
Captain America. How can you be for registration?
JD, I was having a back and forth with my buddy Joe, and he posed this awesome question.
Is that be an awesome question?
it's
in quotes.
This is confusing. It makes me feel uncomfortable when characters from other comic universes interlope where they aren't needed. That's awesome use of interlope. Such as when Spider-Man confronts the Joker in Spider-Man-Batman one-shot I have. It's just that for the most part, they're already counterparts to each other within DC and Marvel, and Spider-Man has too many fantastic villains all by himself. So does Batman. So why?
You mean like when a mage teams up with a druid?
No, like intercompany crossover.
Does it ever affect continuity within universes? I mean, you wouldn't have the FF call up Superman to defeat a Skrull invasion, then you'd have to pass on to historical canon. Imagine if a DC Comics hero guested in a Marvel book and died in the Marvel universe. Have they ever done anything like this? Has DC and Marvel either changed each other in a permanent way? I scanned the long boxes in my brain and couldn't remember a particular instance where this happened. There are tons of crossovers and even the whole amalgam thing, but I can't think of anything major and permanent. Well, duh.
These don't matter. They're gimmicks.
Yeah, they're just fun.
Except when Superman boxed Muhammad Ali.
Right.
Here's something.
That was in canon.
There's really no such thing as canon.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, but they can change it anytime they want
true,
to.
Yeah.
I mean, so that means there isn't.
Yeah, that's true. But definitely the
crossovers are just fun little gimmicks. They don't matter to story-wise.
They say, hey, George Perez, how many people can you put on one page? And he goes, I don't know, let me see.
He's actually not foreign. He's normal.
He's Sergio Aragonés.
Yeah, but he's... anyway. you know what my favorite crossover, though, was ever?
What?
Was when Top Cow had the Star Trek license and they did the Star Trek X-Men books. Those were awesome.
Actually, you know what? The thing really we were good. Talking about earlier, the Authority Aliens thing, that's in canon in the Wildstorm universe.
Yeah,
my favorite one was the Superman, Spider-Man one from the early 80s, I think. I used to have a little digest-sized book and I'd read it all the time.
You want to know what was one of my favorite ones? Was, ironically, because I was talking recently about how I like Brett Booth for some reason, and I really like Backlash, and there was a Backlash Spider-Man crossover, but it was Ben Reilly. And I was like, there's actually a crossover with Ben Reilly, like Scarlet Spider.
Did you guys ever read the abysmally horrible, legendary Frank Miller written...
Spawn?
Yeah.
I've never read it.
Oh, I have. I have it first printed.
I have them, yeah.
The battering in the face is Spawn. Yeah,
which was cool, but...
Which was, yeah, but still.
Was it really, really bad?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
That's where he went off the rails, I think.
Possibly. That was the moment.
Yeah. That's before he met Jim Lee.
So our next... It's not Frank's fault. It's Jim's fault.
I listened to that again. It's hilarious.
Jim's taking Frank Miller down. All right. Our next email comes from Robbie Pocatello, Idaho, who's my favorite.
That's not even right. He's from Pocatello, Idaho. Yeah.
Okay. What do we think of the various animated incarnations, such as Justice League or Ultimate Avengers? His wife never picked up a comic until she saw a couple episodes of the animated Justice League. Now she reads JL of A. It's like my mom talking about it.
No, that's what it's called now, actually.
Justice League of America. Oh, yeah, it is. I'll always call it JLA.
Yeah.
And the Batman books religiously. We'll occasionally read the odd X-Men or Spider-Man book.
That never happens. Consider yourself lucky.
Yeah, you are the Idaho unique.
Justice League obviously was good. The Batman is good. Superman is good.
I think the animated shows are great. I mean, you know, like they're...
Ultimate Avengers is but it's interesting.
It was on Cartoon Network and I saw it, so I hit the TiVo thing, but I could not make myself interested enough and I just stopped watching
I feel like we talked about this. Cartoons and watching cartoons.
A couple of questions ago. There's some crossover.
Did you read the G.I. Joe comic before you watched the cartoon?
That was at the same time.
No, but think back. Do you remember?
I was in like 5 years
I'm
old.
I'm pretty sure I saw the cartoon first.
Probably.
And then I got interested in the comic. So
what I am looking forward to is that whole DC thing they're doing where they're adapting classic stories into...
The New Frontier.
DVD movies. That'll be good.
So, all right, next question.
Careful, buddy.
I know.
All right, Mimi says...
I'm sorry.
Oh, you ruined it.
your character now is starting to be the guy who says horrible things.
I know, exactly. I like the name Mimi, though.
Yeah. Right. I'm so excited for season two of Doctor... Here we go again. For season two of Doctor Who, which starts tomorrow on CBC. I'm guessing it's already started. Yep, I'm Canadian. Do we have any American listeners? I was wondering if any new, with new style of darker... Doctor Who comics are being written and what you think of them, if so. Next question.
Dave writes in and requests to women in comic stores.
I'm sorry, Mimi. We have no
Mimi,
answer.
Yeah, we have no...
I've never
done the dark... It's a phone booth, right?
Yeah.
I've heard the newest version
Bill and Ted.
Of it is quite good.
Yeah, it's with the weird-looking guy.
I think they're all weird-looking, aren't
they? Yeah.
Dave writes in regards to women in comic stores. I used to live in Barcelona, Spain, and there was always women... Always women... and no, quote, comic geek stigma like we get out here. That's why can't American chicks read comics like the Eurotrash?
Why can't they, Dave? We don't have the answer to that.
Should we get your wife in here, Josh?
No. No, this is man time.
Sorry.
I've heard a lot that, like, in Europe there's no stigma like there is here. Like, you grow up with
comics. Yeah, but they're reading little Nemo. Or whatever.
Well, yeah, but the idea being that if you're looking at somebody reading a comic strip or a graphic novel, it's like stigma, it's just like a book. It's the same
dorkiness. Yeah,
it's all stigma.
Dave, we're with
you. Sure, but a guy in a Captain America shirt in France is also cool. I don't think so.
Okay. Well, not in France.
Well, you know
Captain France.
Hello, it's in Scratchy Land, open for business.
Daredevil shirt. Huh?
All right. Next question comes from Steve. He noted before that he's definitely more on the Marvel side of things. His superhero choice, if you will, has always been Spider-Man. Even when he was younger, it's like they're confessing. There has always been something I identified with in him. I have been going back and reading a bunch of the trades of the classic stories, such as The Death of Gwen Stacy, Death of Captain Stacy. Are there any others you can recommend? Also, is there someone's run on the comic that you've enjoyed more than another? I also haven't gotten too much into the Ultimates collections. My favorite Marvel runs are anything Spider-Man, Uncanny, and Astonishing X-Men, anything Avengers, Wolverine.
Jeez, he's crazy.
With all of these Civil War crossovers, it's given me a chance to pick up some titles I wouldn't necessarily pick up. Any other recommendations, Marvel, otherwise you could turn me to? As for DC, I'm just reading Batman and Detective Comics.
What was the question?
I don't know.
What Spider-Man story should he go back and read? You might want to look in the 70s, the first Punisher appearance, that Jackal storyline.
I don't think I've read a lot of...
Yeah. Also the whole Spider-Man Craven...
The amazing Spider-Man stuff that McFarlane drew,
yeah, that's good.
Which I forget who wrote. I want to say Dave Michelinie.
Yes.
Dave Michelinie, yeah. That stuff is supposed to be pretty good.
Early
Venom.
Early Venom stuff. Yeah, I really like that because Venom was pretty freaky then.
Yeah, it was scary.
It was kind of very scary. So.
Before he was kind of, I guess people don't like him now.
And he's asking for other recommendations of Marvel. And Steve, it sounds like you're buying everything.
Yeah.
So you're good.
And you know what? In 2 months, everything's going to go its own way again.
Yeah, and just read Thunderbolts.
Keep listening to the show. We'll tell you what's going to be good as it's happening.
Yeah, Thunderbolts.
So. That's just from Ron.
Well, it's got Venom in it. Go.
Yeah.
I'm not reading it. Drew from Atlanta says, do you think...
This is a long one.
Okay. Well, this is multi-part, so I'm going to start at the beginning. Do you think the Defenders, Doctor Strange, Silver Surfer, Hulk, and Namor, are going to play a role in Civil War? I have to admit that I enjoy the Defenders, so this is a completely biased opinion, but here's my two-part logic. One, during the year leading up to Civil War, Marvel's been making a point to remind, quote, readers of the Defenders. While it was a humor book, the Defenders miniseries seemed out of the blue, but came out right before Civil War started. Hulk and his planet, Hulk story, Silver... I can't even follow this.
You cannot read... Let me take over.
Yeah, go ahead.
Basically saying, number one, is that right before Civil War, the Defenders book came out, and it happened right before Hulk went to Planet Hulk, Silver Surfer went to Annihilation, Doctor Strange with his new mini, and Namor has been prominent in the Illuminati. So that's point number one. Point number two is, as individuals, each character is directly tied to Civil War somehow. Hulk is on another planet kicking ass, but is no doubt going to be super pissed at the Illuminati that exiled him. Silver Surfer got power boosted and the will to fight restored by Galacticus in the Annihilation story.
Galactus. I know. He did that one on purpose.
Yeah. And from what he understand, also found out what was done to Hulk. Am I wrong about that fact? No, you're not. You're correct. He certainly won't be happy. Obviously, Namor is already against registration, has already tried to attack Iron Man, so he's certainly made a stance. And Doctor Strange has secluded himself in order to show his position against the whole Civil War altogether. He feels like, or more importantly, I'm excited that the Defenders are going to play a pivotal role near the end of the Civil War story, either bringing about the end or at least beginning of the end.
We should summarize next time.
Yeah, possibly. Drew, you have a great theory, and I hadn't thought about that.
But there's no way in hell.
I think what happened with the Defender series was that they stole Giffen and DeMatteis and McGuire from DC.
They ripped off the Justice League, basically.
Then Civil War happened. Yeah. Like it was a bunch of circumstance. It's a lot of coincidence. Although
you heard echoes.
Although if in a couple of months from now we find out the Defenders are the end of the Civil War, we'll know where Marvel got the idea from it. It'll
but
be
the
you
Defenders books don't sell for one thing.
Yeah, they're not popular.
Two, like I think those are just all mainstay Marvel characters. So of course they have.
Well, they're historically the
Defenders. Not the Defenders. I used to like the Defenders.
I love
comics.
The Defenders.
It's just I think this is.
This is far-fetched. Connecting
too many dots that aren't connectable.
But it's cool that you piece them all together because
nice
it's totally viable. It's totally, I mean, if I didn't know what I knew, that not that I know anything, but like it would be like, oh, that makes sense, but I don't think it's going to happen. So,
Ryan from California writes in, so I'm new to the podcast, and I went ahead and listened to episode 50. Ray's problem was intriguing to me. I happened to work at a comic shop in Ray's native state of California. This shop definitely has cute girls.
Ray was the guy who had the cute girl in his comic shop.
That he wanted to ask out.
Right.
Yeah.
This shop definitely has cute girls, and I distinctly remember one of them being asked out a few weeks ago, around the same time, I believe, as Ray's first email.
So if you ask somebody out at a comic shop, it gets around.
Before I spoil this, how this conversation went, I want to make sure we're on the same page. Do you have any specific info on where Ray is from?
Maybe some sort of frapper Matt Pin.
He'd be curious to know. We don't know where Ray is from exactly.
So we think that, okay, so Ray wrote in and that there was a girl at a comic book shop that worked there they wanted to ask out, and now Ryan thinks he saw the
ask out. Yeah, but then Ray wrote back in saying there was another girl.
He couldn't decide, and Ray never got back to us if he actually did
anything. We are
so Ryan, we don't know if you saw it. If you did,
go to the
holy
frapper,
shit, that's crazy.
That's awesome. That's better than Jimski getting recognized.
Yeah, it is.
Go to the Frapper map. Zoom in on your area.
See California,
if Ray's got a pin.
He may not have a pin there, but Ray.
And Ray, write
to...
back and tell us what's going on with it. Because
we're not going to do that work, though.
We're on the edge of our seats. We have jobs. So, all right. So, Ray, please write in and tell us what happened because Ryan wants to know.
Okay.
All right. So, our next email comes from Matt. He wondered if Ron, was still following Annihilation, a book that he got started on because of the amazing cover art. Issue number 3 came out this week, which was several weeks ago, and it has so many badass moments. Fire Lord reawakening, Super Scroll coming back to life, and things look like they'll only get better. Seriously, get Josh up to speed on it, so you have someone to talk to about it. I don't think Connor would care. Maybe drop a small mention of it at least.
I don't care.
Well, Matt, you pretty much assumed to a T that Connor doesn't care.
At first I was going to be mad he was going to be presumptuous, but then he's right.
He is right. They know us well. And honestly, Matt, I don't think I could convince Josh to read it. I have been reading it, though, and it is indeed awesome.
You could see my eyes glaze over as you were reading it. Exactly. I was like, Fire Lord, dork.
It's been really good, and it's been fun, space-tastic stuff. And if you notice on iFanboy.com, I recently praised Mr. Giffen's
yes, he did.
Stuff. So definitely check it out.
Oh, now I have another complicated one to read. Okay, oh, God, I can do it. Raph has... There's two related questions, one from Raph and one from Zach. Raph is moving to Brazil in December.
Awesome.
And wondering if he knew of any way that he could get his comics over the internet, like an international subscription or something like that. Comics there are really old, meaning in Brazil they get like comics from months and months ago, which means
from 1987.
They're mad at everybody, including Wizard. And honestly, I have no answer on this. If anybody knows,
well, let's read the second question.
And Zach says he's a professional computer geek. Are you too?
I am, actually.
All right, there you go. Ron is too. We've got a love match. I have been deployed for not quite 2 years to Iraq and Afghanistan.
I won't leave New York.
This week, I am coming to you from a naval base in my favorite word, Djibouti, Africa. Anyway, can you recommend some websites that ship to APO addresses with subscriptions? I occasionally see comics here, but I was able to follow most of Bendis' Daredevil run. But he's depending on us and Wizard to fill him in on what happened.
Well, Wizard will definitely fill you in.
Before it even happens in my geek world. I missed out on everything in Civil War. No, there was a delay. You can catch up. Infinite Crisis. Don't worry about it. All of it, and it really pisses me off. I'm stationed in Europe. Well, I thought you were just in Africa.
I think he's moving around.
I see.
He was around
during the letter, he moved. Yeah. And I can't find a store to get back issues, so I'd be subscribing for a long time.
Zoom, zoom.
Well.
Forbidden Planet.
And apparently what we've learned... whoever did this, one of you two, did your homework. Comichole.com does international shipping.
So, Raph and Zach, there's your answer.
We don't know if they ship to APO.
They probably do, because that's basically shipping. Yeah. That's shipping domestically.
Well, I just don't know for sure. I know they ship to... But well, Comichole.com is your solution.
Check with them.
Yeah, check with them. Tell them we sent you. We don't actually operate a comic book retailing business, but we
live in a metro area, we have no problem finding comic books ever, except for 2008 AD.
Scott wrote in saying I've been curious to try Squadron Supreme, but I'm confused as to where to start. I looked it up on the net, and there are quite a few titles with similar names with no indication as to where to start. Can you shed some light on this?
Yes.
There's just that one story.
Trade paperback called Squadron Supreme, written by Mark Greenwald.
That's all you need to know. Everything else is secondary.
And he's in there.
And if you can find it, maybe on eBay, there was a version of the trade paperback that came out in the late 90s after Mark Greenwald unfortunately passed away, and his dying wish was to be cremated and to have his ashes mixed in into the ink to print the trade paperback.
Smells like Greenwald.
And they did it. Yeah. And it was really kind of creepy. And once I was in a Barnes & Noble with a friend of mine, and I was telling him about that, and we're looking at the book, and he's like, "Oh wow, cool!" And then we walked around, and then we get back in the car, and he lifts up his shirt and pulls it out. I think you've told this. Yeah, I was like, "You stole it?" And he's like, "Yeah, you said it was the guy's ashes." And I was like, "You should have paid for it."
Yeah, so, that was rough.
Yeah. All right. Next email comes from Danny. He heard on our podcast, it's like rumor, I heard on your podcast that Planetary is going to be a pilot. Is this true? I've been scouring the net left and right and have found no evidence of this to be true. Let me know. Thanks.
I couldn't find anything on this either.
Did we say that?
I don't think
so. Were you drunk, Connor?
Maybe.
No, Warren Ellis had a deal with Bravo? No.
It was
American...
Was it something else?
Global Frequency sold as a pilot. Sold as a development deal and nothing right. ever. I think they shot the pilot.
I think so.
Because he did the report from the set. I remember reading that. Michelle Forbes.
And I believe he signed a development deal with AMC or something like that.
But nothing ever came from
it. Well, you're still working on it.
No, but nothing came on the planet. I don't think Planetary's part of that.
They'd never finish it.
Yeah.
Fun of punch.
That was a joke.
All right. Let's see if Josh can get through the next letter.
You know what? Go to hell. Ooh, it's about Black Bolt. Matt from Denver says he was showing his girlfriend a picture of Black Bolt. And he told her he was cool and it would be like a nuclear explosion if he ever opened his mouth and spoke. She asked, what happens if he yawns? He would also kick your ass at that point. And he misspelled Connor's name on his review on podcast of iTunes, which everybody does. How do I spell you? How do we spell your name?
C-O-N-O-R.
Which is the only way I've ever known how to spell Connor.
People want to put in extra N's all the time.
Yeah. And E's.
He feels totally lame and he think he got it right later. And he wanted to know if we could do any more reviews of movies because he heard our X3 and Superman podcasts.
Well, he wants to know if we can do special episodes of past movies, which we're not going to
do. He also says, perhaps when you have the free time, ha ha. Ha ha, indeed.
We don't have any.
Yeah,
we're definitely going to continue to do the special ones for movies that come out new, but we're not going to go back and do
and
any
discuss
old ones.
The hype of new movies.
Next question.
What's the next? Is there another comic book movie coming out?
Yeah, 300.
Yeah, 300.
Oh God,
ooh,
looks awesome.
Did you guys? We saw The Departed the other night, and the trailer came on, and did you guys feel what I felt?
Yeah,
yes,
goosebumps,
a little tinge in the taint.
Really, because the guy behind me blowing on my ear. I was like, "Who are you?" And he's like, "Ooh."
Henry from South Dakota writes, about 6 months ago, I got me a copy of Batman 608, the RRP edition off eBay. That issue means a lot to me. The cover is awesome. That arc got me back into mainstream comics, and Loeb and Lee just rock. My question is this. How many copies of this comic are there officially? I've read there. On eBay, there are from 200 to 500 in existence, and CGC's site has about 160-plus listed. So do you know officially how many there are? I tried Googling it. No such luck. Do you keep up the good work and see you at Comic-Con next year?
What the hell is an RRP?
I have no idea.
I think you're hanging on a different part of Comic-Con than I am.
I think it's like a retailer. I think it's something to do with like a limited retailer edition.
Printing.
He's a speculator.
Why don't you email DC, Henry? Go to dccomics.com and find the contact button.
Yeah, this is about as far from our interest as you can possibly get.
Yeah, exactly. So, we don't know about that stuff. We'd like to read the books.
We do the story. I couldn't tell you anything about... None of us could tell you anything about Rarity or CGC or any of that stuff. And I recommend you enjoy the comics for themselves.
Yes, agreed. So, all right, our next question comes from Nick. Recently, he started getting back into comics after a 10-year break. He's been thinking about getting some of the Ultimate X-Men trades. He's heard mixed reviews about it. Can you guys put my questioning to rest? Okay, we put it to rest. Stop questioning.
Done.
I was in the store the other day, and I looked over at the Ultimate X-Men, and they were on, like, volume...
A lot.
Oh, yeah. 17 or something.
So was Ultimate Spider-Man,
Nick, just fucking do it. Just buy one. If you like
they're
the second
good.
One.
There's a lot of... You know,
or you can go to your local library and take one out
that's
there,
a good
and
try
then
it
you
out.
Can just try it
there's
out.
There's a lot of good people have been on the... Like, they
good
got
people.
Kirkman and Brian K. Vaughan.
Miller, Bendis. I mean, they've gotten a lot of talent on there. Although it seems to be where the talent goes to flounder a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They don't really do that well on it. But check it out. You know, I like the library suggestion.
Go to the library, get the first one. If you like it, then you can get some more.
Yeah, totally. All right,
I'm not reading this next one.
So the next one comes from Nate from Canton, Ohio.
Well, it's three questions. Why don't we break it up into three?
Whatever.
You do the first
one.
Do the first
one. I'll just answer things.
All right, so the first question is mostly for Ron and Connor because of the circumstances at the time. How much did it cost to go to San Diego Comic-Con? A ballpark figure would be great, seeing how we came from New York and he'd be coming from Ohio. He's interested in an estimate for airfare and hotel and possibly food and other non-show purchases. He really wants to go, but I kind of need a guess on how much to save.
You know what kind of freaks me out is that he like knows the difference. He's like, well, Josh, you were only coming from L.A.
Right, so you just drove that. Well, here's the deal, Nick, Nate. I think round trip airfare we found for like about $300. $300 is about what we look for.
Yeah.
Hotel, we're not going to comment because we have, fortunately, we're lucky to have a hotel hookup. So.
But tell you what, if you haven't booked your hotel by now, you ain't getting one this year.
Well, no, they haven't opened up yet. I mean, they'll look in January or February. Go to comiccon.org or comic-con.org.
Comic-con.org.
And you can book a hotel through them, but it opens up on a certain day at a certain time.
You
need to be online when that happens
because
to get the hotel room.
It's like KISS tickets.
Yeah, exactly. In 1978.
Food and who wants to
know food and non-show purchases.
Well, I mean, it depends.
I would set aside. Well, the thing is, the hotel is probably going to be about $200 a night, depending on how many nights you go. So that's $800 easy. The best bet: get eight guys. Get your buddies.
That's what
to
we
go
did.
With you.
Yeah.
That's what we did.
And you can get food. There's really expensive nice restaurants. There's cheap restaurants.
Yeah. And don't go to Cheetahs.
And don't go to. That's a very good advice. So moving on. The second question is for Josh and Connor.
That was your best segue ever.
You guys were big Gotham Central fans and didn't mind that the ending of the series left things open. Well, did you happen to read the 3-part Crisis Aftermath: The Spectre?
No.
That wrapped up the biggest storyline.
No.
That being the outcome of the whole Crispus Allen murder by Jim Corrigan.
No.
If you did not read it, well, it sucked and it was just awful. Pretend you know nothing of its existence.
Don't know anything.
If you did read it, how do you feel about a great story being wrapped up by someone else, Will Pfeiffer, and done so badly?
Never happened.
All right. Third for Ron, me. He just recently started...
Well, let me read it for you.
Okay, fine.
Third for Ron, I've just recently started buying Uncanny X-Men, and other than Astonishing, which I only bought because of Whedon, I've never been into the X-Men, mostly DC guy. What storylines would you recommend someone starting out liking the X-Men? Other than Dark Phoenix and Days of Future Past, which I did read when I picked up Essentials Volume 1 and 2, anything classic or recent?
Yes. I would look into the Fall of the Mutants storyline in the early 200s. I would look into the Extinction Agenda in Uncanny X-Men 270-ish range.
You're freaky.
What?
You're just calling them out of your brain.
I know. He wanted to know what were good storylines.
I
would look into
page 15 of issue 258.
I would look into Inferno, which was a lot of fun. But keep in mind that Extinction Agenda and Inferno and Fall of Mutants crossed over with X-Factor and New Mutants and those other books.
I think Rob Liefeld drew some of that too.
Not Inferno. That was Silvestri. Liefeld was on Extinction Agenda. He was on New Mutants at the time. So.
Would you recommend the '90s reboot era?
What 90s?
Like
I don't know what you're talking about.
When they started the X-Men book, adjectiveless X-Men.
I don't know what you're talking. The very beginning of Adjectiveless X-Men, when Jim Lee was on. When Jim Lee and Claremont were on. So.
You would not recommend the Grant Morrison run.
No, I would not. Stay away from the new omnibus that came out. Awful. Not canon. All right, so finally, he wants to know if any of us are reading Justice.
I am.
He doesn't recall hearing anything about it. That's because Connor's reading it. We don't care about him.
That's right.
No, I'm just kidding. It's one of the best comics out there for superheroes. It's got a great story that harkens back to the classic era of DC without feeling Silver Age-y. And, well, is great, great art. Plus, it comes out on time every other month. Connor, do you agree?
Well, I don't know if that's true, but it is a really fun book. It's
lame. That's
Alex Ross
I
playing
it.
In the Silver Age.
I dropped it.
You did drop it?
I dropped it. I started buying the first couple issues and I dropped it.
This latest issue was really, really good.
I have an unreasonable distaste for Jim Kruger. I don't know why.
He did FX.
I know. I hated
FX. Fat Peter Parker.
I hated FX.
Peter Parker was great.
And I think it's because Jim Kruger reminds me of Costanza's boss at Kruger.
Oh, Kroger.
That guy?
Kroger.
No, it was Kruger.
No, it was Kroger.
It wasn't Kroger. It was Kruger.
Did his dad call him Kroger? Somebody possibly, called him Kroger.
But it was Kruger. Remember the cleaning company that cleaned the sides of buildings and stuff? That was, anyway, so.
You know what I'm doing right now? I'm imagining the person listening to this going, what the fuck are they talking about? Because
exactly.
I don't know what you're talking
about. Kroger.
All right.
Yeah, well, I like it a lot. I think it'll read better in a trade form.
He did a really good...
Oh, well, or the hardcover they're putting out every 4 issues.
Right, well, that's...
To rip you off.
Basically. But it's been really fun. It's been a great Silver Age tale. The latest
but
issue...
I'm not
the latest
comics
issue,
for fun.
It's work, I know. The latest issue featured some Teen Titans, and it had like every hero and
really?
Seeing Alex Ross doing was cool.
Okay, all right.
I'll try it.
Oh, this one's gonna be fun.
Good luck.
Alex from Wenham, Massachusetts, said the
do it as a main voice.
Hold on,
he can barely read the emails. It is.
I know. You know what? This might actually help. All right. The one issue I wanted to raise was that on the last podcast, Connor, I'm pretty sure, said he didn't like Dan Slott.
Tommy.
I personally am a big fan of Slott and find his work, especially in the She-Hulk, to be very entertaining and fun. And I just wanted to know a bit more about why Connor isn't a fan.
Okay, before Connor responds, I'm going to guess that Connor has no opinion of Dan Slott as a writer and purely passes judgment on him because of Don Slott, the Yankee player of the 80s.
Yes.
It's a trick he learned from you, though.
What?
Hating something for something.
Oh, yeah, for no apparent reason. Yeah, exactly. I learned it from watching you, all right?
I'm sorry about the drugs.
Where did you get this stuff?
I'm going to grow a really cheesy mustache. Dan Slott, he's got a very small but very loyal fan base, which I respect because they're very loyal to him no matter what he does. But
She-Hulk is good.
He represents a storytelling style that I just have no connection to whatsoever. It's very lighthearted. It's very
Marvel
throwback-ish.
Yeah, throwback Marvel though.
Tom DeFalco.
I really prefer comics to be written more in a come from a more dark and realistic place.
Yeah, understood.
No, I think
that's why I don't like him. I don't like his throwback style.
But you don't need all your comics to be dark and horrible.
No, but I like him to be grounded in a
he likes them to
more
be
realistic
brooding.
Place.
I think that there's a
like
way
Batman,
to write there's a way to write scripts like that are realistic. It's sort of a more modern story, it's a cinematic kind of feel almost. And Dan Slott's stuff feels like classic.
I feel like when I read something he's written, it's like watching a cartoon.
Mm-hmm. What did Don Slott play?
Catcher.
Oh, interesting. Oh, okay.
So that's why I'm not a big fan of his. I don't begrudge anyone for being a fan of it. Ron likes his She-Hulk, but I just don't.
I tried to read it after Ron picked it as pick of the week, and I was like, this is not for me.
I'm still buying it.
Fine. I got it.
Oh, okay.
Hold on there, buddy.
Oh, we're still in Maine.
It's Alex from Massachusetts. Right. I can't do a Boston accent as well, so I'm just going to do Portland, and you'll have to deal with it.
Tommy. Hell of a way to earn a living.
Finally. You're messing me up, you bastard. Finally, there's the Moon Knight live-action show coming soon. I don't think that Moon Knight, of all characters, should have been chosen to get a TV. It's not coming soon. There are so many interesting characters that Marvel could have gone with. The question is, what character do you think would translate best into a live-action TV show?
Well, first of all, it's not coming soon at all.
Well, whatever. It's closer than fucking Brother Voodoo.
Do you know how that... Everything has had a development deal signed for it. Yeah, this has had a development deal.
You know one character I think doesn't have it who would be perfect? Wendigo. Could you imagine a show about Wendigo? It'd be like MacGyver.
Is he the big furry guy from Alpha Flight?
No, that's Sasquatch. Oh. Wendigo is the big white furry guy who just goes Wendigo, and then
he should fight Solomon Grundy.
Yeah, that'd be great. So,
who would translate best in a live action TV show?
I just told you Wendigo.
Besides Wendigo,
they should do a show about Blade.
Wait a minute. So
I don't know if I have an answer for that.
U.S. Agent.
You really don't know until you. It's really
Cloak and Dagger. I think Cloak and Dagger would be a good show.
Here's the thing. I think fans, no matter what you do, you got to take somebody who isn't where being part of the Marvel Universe isn't such a huge part of his character. Because if you have somebody who depends on the rest of the Marvel Universe, it's not going to work because they can't do all that.
And also, if you have somebody who has preconceived notions, I mean, if they try to do a Spider-Man show, everybody thinks about Spider-Man.
Perhaps somebody who doesn't wear all white.
Yeah.
Basically, anybody not wearing a costume.
Yeah.
Or anybody you can get away with not doing
In that way, Moon Knight kind of works.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I don't
except
think it's
the
bad.
Pajamas.
It's not going to work, because remember it was like that.
What are you, schizophrenic?
I will give you each $5 if this show ever gets filmed.
It'll get filmed if it gets filmed.
I don't necessarily.
No,
they haven't written a script.
Remember the Bruce Wayne one?
Yeah. That was supposed to be a fantastic script. It didn't even go into print. Yeah.
So.
Finally, he says his three buddies listen to the show as well. And he would
Hold on. I'm going to give a big shout out to his buddies who listen to the podcast. There's Jesse, Shay, and Matt. Oh, he's also known as the Prince. So there, he got a shout out there, buddy.
All right.
Like, he doesn't sound like us at all.
So let's move on. We're in the home stretch here. All right. Next email comes from a guy named Nate, who's the one who called on voicemail in the first week and asked if we...
Tony Stark.
If we like Tony Stark.
No, if we did the show like Tony Stark.
Oh, if we did the show like
remember
Tony Stark.
Remember naked and... Oh, yeah, oils on each other.
I'm naked right now.
I see that.
We answered his question earlier about going to San Diego Comic-Con, so I'm going to move on. Thanks, Nate. All right, our next email comes from Will from the Deep South, also known as Six Gun on iFanboy.com.
You know what? It sounds like we didn't prepare, but we prepared for this more than
for
any of
weeks,
them.
I know. He's got three quick questions for you guys. One, what do you think of Wolverine Origins? I bought the first arc, but the quality has declined so much I dropped it with issue number 6. It's penciled by Steve Dillon, who I know you guys liked in Preacher, but his art doesn't seem to fit a Wolvie book.
Ron, you only want to buy it.
I'm still buying it because of blind faith loyalty to Steve Dillon. It's not very good.
Is it the writing or the art?
It's a little from column A, a little from column B.
Really? Steve Dillon?
Well, interesting theory from the guys at Isotope in San Francisco that they shared with me, that they said, what if Steve Dillon is doing this... like as a joke, like he's just like, yeah, I'll draw Wolverine, you know, like,
pop, yeah, chug,
exactly.
Chug.
So I kind of go with them.
All right.
So
I've heard it's terrible.
It's bad.
Like you really want me to do this? All right, mate.
Yeah. Give me a 6-pack of picks.
So his second question is, he wants to get a good Neil Adams trade TPD trade paperback. He meant TPB, but he's a typo. For Christmas, which one would we suggest?
Green Lantern, Green Arrow,
Hard Traveling Heroes.
Or, conversely, I would say X-Men Visionaries, Neil Adams, collecting his X-Men
stories. Probably cheaper.
Probably cheaper, because it's paperback.
You can get a paperback of the
you
can.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, yeah, but there's a Green Arrow.
Why would you if you can get a hardcover?
Green Lantern, Green Arrow collection from DC that is awesome.
I believe, there must be some Batman work in him.
Yeah, but I don't know off the top collected. Of my head it's not collected like, or not.
Oh, no, they did. After Green Arrow, Green Lantern came out, they did a slipcase.
Oh, yeah,
they
right.
They did. I definitely remember
anything by that is fantastic.
So, and his last question is, are any of us still buying Checkmate?
Yes.
Issue number 7 was the best yet, but you neglected to mention it on the cast.
We can't mention everything.
We don't talk about the good things on the podcast.
We can't mention every book. There's a lot of books. Yeah.
Checkmate is good. So,
what do you want from us, man? You got jobs.
All right, our next question.
That's what the website's for, by the way.
Yeah, true.
If it doesn't come up on the podcast, you go there
and do that. And do that whole website thing.
The thing where you're typing and the words come up on the screen.
I can't type. I don't have fingers.
Our next question comes from Andy from Boston, Mass. And I'm not doing an accent because I can't. Tommy. He heard on the podcast.
You can only say one name.
I know. That's all I can say. He heard on the podcast. And I can say, hell of a way to earn a living.
Wait, I can do it like Kennedy.
I heard in the podcast that you picked up Justice League Heroes. Actually, it's Quimby.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep going. How is it? I'm not sure about how I feel about picking it up. After playing X-Men Legends, I'm a little skeptical to play another superhero game that is not Ultimate Alliance. Granted, this isn't a video game review site, but I feel your opinion could be taken into consideration.
Let me explain what went into that purchase of Justice League Heroes for Connor for his birthday.
Right.
I'm standing, holding Justice League Heroes in my right hand, and Marvel Ultimate Alliance, whatever, in my left hand.
That's not a hard call for him.
Yeah, exactly. Connor's a DC guy. I knew that while he might enjoy Marvel Ultimate Alliance on a whim...
No, I would have enjoyed it. It's just clearly that's
you
the way
to
go.
You want to be Batman.
Absolutely.
Yes, and has a safety.
Even though when you and I played, you were Batman and I was Superman.
I know, and then we kept on switching. We didn't know how.
I would like to be Green Lantern.
You can be.
You can.
Unlock that for
in
me.
In fact, I have where I am at the game right now is Green Lantern, so if you go in there and play
You
right
can't
now.
Bring your save games on your Xbox, though.
I'm sorry.
I have a memory card I can lend to you.
Oh, jeez, losers. All right, so that's why...
we're so not gamers, though, and
no,
I don't think that you should respect our opinion.
Well, I think it's fair. I mean,
it's a fun button masher. It's not too hard. It's the thing I was playing on easy because I'm old.
Exactly. So
I don't want the challenge. I just want to see the things.
Yeah, I want to hit things with Batman. I don't need it to be
run
hard.
Really fast like the Flash.
Yeah.
Okay, so next email comes from Craig.
Did we answer his question? We haven't played the other one. We've only played the one.
Yeah, he's...
I don't know.
How is it? We liked it. It's fun. It was fun. It's a lot like X-Men Legends, though, Andy. So if you didn't like X-Men Legends, it's just X-Men Legends with DC characters.
It's like the old Simpsons game with DC.
All right, our next email comes from Craig. He likes us.
Cool.
Thank you.
We like you.
He apologized if we've answered this already. All right, so whatever. His main question is, why do we dislike or avoid Wizard Magazine? This question.
we have answered it.
Basically, he thinks it gives comprehensive previews throughout the comics industry. He thinks a lot of the articles are fluff, and the staff never comes out and seems to bash anything.
Basically, what he says is it's not that great, but it's the best we've got.
Well, he's saying it's the only thing we've got,
right. Which is true.
No, there's Comics Journal, and there's
that's different though. That's
but
not,
it's still something.
But it doesn't cover. They don't cover Marvel and DC,
right? But it's still a comic. I mean, Marvel and DC is on the whole industry.
Well, if he's buying Wizard, chances are.
So the thing about it, I'm the only one out of the three of us who buys it every month, and Josh only buys it when we're in it, and Connor doesn't.
I didn't actually pay for it. I wouldn't. I had somebody else buy it.
But anyway, so
I had somebody else buy it for me.
The reason why I buy it is that every once in a while there's one article that's like, you know, it's a pretty good article. But you know, Craig, you hit the nail on the head. They never bash anything. Mm-hmm. They never say this is awful. They're never as honest as, oh, I don't know, some young fellows who have no ties to the industry might.
Still no ties. 1 year later and counting.
But that's the nature. I mean, in terms of publishing, you know, there's some people try to be honest and some people try not to, you know, piss in the pool that pays them. So, in that alliteration.
It's sophomoric.
It's a humorous sophomoric, yeah. So.
It perpetuates really the worst stereotypes of a comic reader.
I mean, the thing is, like, when you say there's nothing else, there's no other magazine, but there's a billion places on the internet that do that job and better.
Yep. So,
I mean, even, like, you know, there's our website for the kind of stuff we talk about, but, like, you know, NewsRama covers just about everything.
Any interview you want is going to be on a website somewhere.
And honestly, I mean, maybe we bash it a little more than we should,
not enough, in my opinion.
All right, well, okay, I was trying to be nice. I was trying to take the high road.
No.
So. We'll just hang out with the slums in Crime Alley with you.
They were listening to the show at one point. They were like, this is pretty good. We should probably call these guys and sponsor them. And then all of a sudden, they're like, whoa, what that guy said? Fuck them. Click.
All right. Our next email comes from our buddy Cameron in reaction to last episode, where he says, damn you, Frank Cho. I blame my stupidity on misinformation, but feel okay because Ron didn't get it until reading my email the fourth time over.
This is the guy who confused Jim Lee and Frank Cho.
Ha ha ha. But Cameron does say congrats on making it to 54 episodes, and he'll be listening to the next 54. Although after that, screw you guys. I won't care anymore. That's our kind of my family.
This is the last show.
That's it. We're done. We're packing it up.
It's like Cerebus.
Yeah.
A year ago, we said let's do it for a year, and then just walk away.
Exactly. We're going to go out on the high note.
So I have to kill these two.
That was a lot of questions.
Yeah.
That was too many questions.
What were we thinking?
I don't know, but I think we need to apologize to the listeners.
Why?
A lot of questions, not a lot of good answers.
Yeah, the quality wasn't really there.
People
really
call up and think we know everything about comics. That's the big thing about the show.
We're just like you, except that we have microphones.
Really, like, we don't get to buy everything.
Yeah, nobody sends us anything for free. They won't even talk to us.
No,
they won't.
If they see us at a convention with the camera, they run away.
It's been 1 year. If you work for a comic book company, let us know. We're just curious.
You know, a lot of the other guys, they seem to know people in comics.
Not us, nope. They don't even know us.
Occasionally, they fool us. They're like, oh, hey, yeah, we read your show. We'll call you. Nothing.
Read your show.
That might be the problem, because we're reading the show.
You're tired. I can tell. You're sleepy. We're sleepy, I fanboy. Anyway, so that wraps up the year-end extravaganza. So it's been a year, boys.
What the hell happened?
I honestly
feel like we just started doing this.
So 2005, I wasted on World of Warcraft.
Yes.
In 2006, I wasted on you.
Nice.
By you, he means me and Ron, not you, Lewis.
No.
Think about that.
That's a lot of podcasting.
It is a lot of podcasting.
I mean, fun.
Yeah.
It's not like... Wait, sorry.
Oh, we're getting punchy. That's good.
Well, thanks everybody for listening.
Yes, thank you. I mean, honestly, you know, it's kind of like if three guys recorded a podcast and nobody listened, then it would be boring. And you,
there's a lot of those podcasts too.
There are, but you all have you showed up and you listened and you asked for more and you got angry.
You participate and you make it better. You made the show better.
Yes, you know, like it's weird because at first we started doing letters and we're like, God, I hope we keep getting enough letters to do. And this was not a problem.
No, and then we added the voicemail. And then
we get, you know, same thing with the voicemail. And every single day we get like letters from people all over the place. And every single one of them starts out with, except for two, you know, we really love the show. Thanks for doing it. And that's really cool.
And honestly, that's the reason why I think we lasted a year. Yeah. We got such great feedback from all you folks and all the regulars at ifanboy.com. You guys don't. Realize how important you are to us.
It's true. Without getting fat,
you have no idea how much you've cost our individual companies.
Ixnay, my boss listens. It's whatever. I don't even read the site, so it doesn't matter.
he really doesn't. Although sometimes you refer to it, you'd be like, "Can you believe what he said?" I'm like, "What? The thing he said?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?"
I do read.
It's the site.
Lurk. I'm a lurker on my own site.
That's weird.
I think that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Someone's got to. So, but thank you everybody who listens and who wrote in and who subscribed and all that sort of, and wrote such great stuff about us on iTunes and Podcast Alley and stuff like that.
Keep doing it.
The folks who donated.
Yep. Yes. I mean, especially the folks who donated. Thank you very, very much.
We like you more.
Yeah, exactly. Than everyone else. You're our favorite.
Please.
Really.
There's no contest with that.
It's not like we tell them they're our favorite and then we say, no, you're our favorite. No, you really are our favorite.
I mean, like, but it's funny because if you think back, like, we did the site for, this is the retrospective mushy part in case you're like, what the hell are they talking about? You think back, we started the site in 2000, as it says all over our banners.
Yep. Because we're really proud of that.
And then we never quite quit.
Yeah, no,
there were times.
Yeah, you can go back and see years of picks of the week where just like I commented on Connor's pick. I'm like, hey, good book. That was it.
Or Ron drew a pick of the week.
Yeah.
But then we started the podcast really inanely. I mean, you're just like, want to do this? Okay, what are you doing tomorrow? Let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially what I was like, I want to do a podcast.
Okay, so, that sounds fun. And then really quickly we started getting a little bit of response. And we were blown away by it at that point. Now there's like, you know, 10 times as many people listening as then, and it's really cool. It's fun, and so much has happened. Like, we went to San Diego. We've been to San Diego before, but, like, this year we
mattered.
Yeah.
Well, to us.
To ourselves.
To some people, but...
But we got to meet so many people.
We did the great video.
The Kirkman thing, man.
Yeah,
that's the best thing that's ever happened. You told me about it, and I was like, I missed it?
Yeah.
And we saw the video, and that was great, and just... But there's more to come.
It's been a wild, wild ride.
No, seriously, I mean, if you go back a year from now, Connor and I tend to watch our download numbers like hawks, and we would giggle at, 100 people downloaded it. And now it's that 100 people downloaded it in minutes, which is amazing. So it's fascinating. Around the world, too. Just look on the Frapper map. I was looking at it today, actually, to see that we actually have net. We got people in Africa.
We got all those letters from people in the UK.
The funniest thing is,
we're huge in Belgium.
It's a year later, and I'm still amazed people like it.
Yeah.
Like, I still...
we hate it.
Yeah, I hate you guys. Motherfuckers.
But you know what? Can I say something? I think we fought less this year. Because of the podcast.
Sure, you keep thinking that. You just go right ahead and keep thinking
You know
that.
What that means?
What?
That means they're mad at me.
Listen, Josh, we actually wanted to talk to you. Connor and I have been talking.
So we're going to have a contest next year. Yeah. Fill Josh's empty slot.
We need a host. No, we're just kidding.
No, but
you're in my house.
1 year later, I think this has made us better. Comics was made reading comics more fun.
Totally.
It's made Josh a better comic reader.
It's possible.
Because a year ago, he was on the ropes, to be honest with you. Me and Connor, like, we're actually... Josh doesn't know this, but we're like, geez, he doesn't really buy much anymore. And when he does, he just complains. And now a year later, it's like, I think you buy more than I do. So it's...
I was getting kind of bored. And I think that's one of the reasons that people listen, because...
You're bored.
No, because like, comics, you can read comics and enjoy it, but really the other fun part of it...
It's the integration.
It's talking about it, yeah.
That's why we started iFanboy. Interaction,
really. Not integration.
I like integration. Okay, integration now, segregation never.
Just him.
So no, I mean, a lot of it is that a lot of people, like we were talking about local comic store ordering online. A lot of people don't have. I mean, I've been lucky to have the local comic store where I can go and hang out and talk to people. Mm-hmm. And some people don't have that around the world, and so we're providing that. That's cool. So
yeah, very
I'm
cool.
down with that. So,
however, the opposite side of it is that I can't talk about comics with you guys anymore.
Yeah, save it.
Save it for the podcast.
Ugh, that's like the one thing. Did you read it? Don't talk to me.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like we have spoilers with our own lives.
It's definitely been a big year for comics, and that's very cool. And ultimately, and on a personal note, for it's the three of us, and we were friends before this, and I think this has made us better.
We're
way better friends now.
I say the same thing, and look at me like I'm an asshole.
I'm the asshole.
Can you show me where the high school girls hang out?
I can.
Anyway.
That was wrong. A lot of levels.
So it's been a good year for iFanboy, and hopefully 2007 will be another one.
I'm positive it's going to be even better than 2006. Awesome.
So before we head out, we have a little special treat for y'all. We teased it a couple of weeks ago when we actually solicited the folks who post on iFanboy.com for them to chime in. But Josh has worked very, very hard over the past couple of weeks, and we now present to you the iFanboy Year One Highlight Reel.
Well, that's high praise.
Enjoy. And hope you enjoy it as much as we enjoy
listening
to it.
Thank you. Grazie prego.
Thank you. Oh, that hurts my ears when you do that.
Yeah, well, it hurts everybody else's ear when you say just about anything in another language.
Manga. Roll tape!
Hey, and welcome to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, episode 34.
Whore.
Carter wrote in asking if there's a picture of what we look like on the site, because two-thirds of us sound hot.
All right, first of all, can you send a more divisive email? I mean, it's hard enough to hold the three of us together without us splintering into angst and rage against each other on a weekly basis, but now you're going to tell us only two of us sound hot and one doesn't?
And then there's a guy behind him that looks like a shark man. Is this the same shark man from the Green Lantern series that we recently read?
No.
So there are multiple shark men running around the DC Universe. That's your problem right there with the DC Universe.
Yeah.
Connor right now says that if you don't like this book, he'll send you $2 back.
I did not say that.
He asks, if the Juggernaut was still in possession of the Crimson Gem of Sitorak, couldn't he totally kick Superman's ass, since one, he has to be comparable in power, and two, his powers are magic-based?
And there's nowhere to run in prison.
No, there isn't.
But
there's three walls and a mean man at the other side. 1 year later is next year. And 52 is now.
Yeah, well, it's not. It's also in a comic book.
But, like, why is Alan Scott not in his Green Lantern costume?
Because he's in charge of Checkmate now.
Did you read
52? But he's in 52,
no.
And he's in his car.
52
yeah,
is last year.
I will say this, Josh, that Ron and I had a good time watching you talk to Jeff Loeb.
Yeah, that was fun.
Watching you going, oh, he doesn't want to be talking to Josh. Oof. He wants to get out of there. Look at that. He wants to go.
I think I did my awkward talking to thing with Jeff Loeb where I was getting, I think he was sitting next to Dave Gibbons
yes.
to do sketching,
yes.
and I just went, so, Commando. and he just kind of nodded and went, yep.
Well, they're still persisting with this Jason Todd's alive thing.
Just real quick, why is he alive?
Don't know. I was reading the interview with Judd. He said, the whys are not the important thing. It's the story.
So
that's
wait,
not
Judd,
the important
Judd?
Thing. Everyone's going to know why Robin is back alive and how.
I only had one kind of pie, but I had 3 pounds of risotto. So.
3 pounds?
I think.
In one setting?
Just about 3 pounds.
Were they rolling
yeah.
you from the table to some sort of bed?
Oh, so good, though. Power Girl just looks awful.
Look, Power Girl has really big boobs. What are you going to do?
Right, no, but the thing is, I've seen them drawn before, and the way he drew them.
I don't think they're real.
Power Girl has implants?
She's had some work done.
Yeah.
She has Kryptonian implants.
If the three of us walked through the Siege Perilous and woke up being the judges on American Idol, who do we think would become who?
That's the best question ever.
Well, first, I think we have to explain to Josh what the Siege Perilous is.
Can you explain to me what American Idol is?
He's sort of a pansy in the X-Men books.
Who, Wolverine?
Yeah.
In the which book?
I don't know. I don't read them. You're right. It hasn't really gone anywhere. We're issue 3, and Batman and Dick Grayson are still in the car driving to the Batcave. While they're making the 15,000-mile journey to the Batcave, all this other stuff is going on.
Through land, sea, and air.
Yeah. It's
something about guys telling guys that they're hot that's a little weird. But I don't know.
Okay, again, stop talking. Jesus.
It's supposed to be the big sort of coming out of Wonder Woman, and I thought, well, maybe they'll...
She's gay? She's gay, too?
No.
Yes.
Dialing.
We are dialing Josh.
Watch him not pick right. up.
Hello.
Hey, Josh.
We're on.
Hey, it's Ron and Connor. We're here. We're doing the podcast, man. What's up?
Oh, this is like a radio
I know,
show.
It totally is.
If only I was some sort of interesting guest.
I love the fact that our first special guest is one of our hosts.
How many copies of Dark Hawk number one do you have?
25.
Still?
Good night, everybody. And unfortunately, Josh, who is normally with us, could not be with us this week, so me and Connor are going to try to make it on our own.
We're in trouble.
I know we are. We're doomed. There will be no humor whatsoever. and we are not joined by our compatriot, Josh, who is normally with us.
Yeah, we got a lot of feedback from people saying that they couldn't tell Josh and Ron apart, so we figured, why do we need both of them?
Just fired him.
Just one guy. My name is Connor Kilpatrick. I'm with Josh Flanagan.
Hello.
And unfortunately, Ron Richards could not be here with us this week, so we're going to soldier on without him. But I fanboy.
Deeply missed.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes not.
And Connor via telephone.
Hi.
Connor's having some technical difficulties at home, so we're doing it old school, right?
Oh, it sucks.
Connor on line one.
First time caller.
Like, he's sort of got the run of the Avengers side of the universe.
Not to nitpick, but do you know anything about Marvel history?
<I do.
laughs> And he says, like a very fine wine or cheese, the podcast just gets better with age, which, okay, thank you. Even without Ron this week, who I am partial to because he seems to be much more Marvel-based like me, he goes, the show still ruled. In fact, you may be stronger without him. Jim, in the matter of two sentences, you tell us that I'm your favorite and then that they're better off without me. What's up with that?
As much as I would love to read everything that people recommend, there's not enough pennies and there's not enough hours in the day.
Yeah. Those sound like excuses to me.
You know what? I added it up.
You getting sick again?
No, I feel a lot better. I coughed all over the monitor. there's literally a page with swastikas all over it and like Joseph Mengele.
Mengele?
Mengele.
Mengele, whatever. Mengele.
He would be much less threatening if he was named Mengele.
Hey, Mengele. Hey,
dude. Hello, how are you? Excuse me.
Back in the 80s, Atlantis attacks and, you know, the Asgard war and things like that. Because it was...
I believe it's Asgard. Asgard is a whole other kind of thing.
That's a good point. Is it Asgard?
Yeah.
Asgard.
Yeah. Basically, if there's only one hardcover you're going to ever go out and buy...
If you see one movie this year, If you only see one play, make sure you see cats.
Ugh.
You're like an old lady sometimes.
If you visit one convention this year...
And it's important to note that the donations won't go to beers and strippers.
Exactly.
We have a lot of good ideas.
Wait. What if we're in San Diego? Does that count as a business trip?
That's a gray area, which would
really... Although it's out on hardcover, but who buys hardcover?
Rich people. Mr. Moneybags.
So, every week we take a look at all the comics that come out and read them and review them. And
not all of them.
Not all
that
of them.
That would be ridiculous.
A select few.
No one can afford that. But rich
exactly.
people.
Stop!
You know who goes to Europe?
Come on,
Connor. Who goes to Europe?
Rich people.
Rich people.
It just makes me a little sad. That's all. You know, it's one of my favorite characters, and now he's going away.
Ring, ring. Hello. Yeah, it's Ron. I'm not going to be able to come in this week. Wally, I can't talk about it. But in a few months, the regular issue's going to come out, and I'll know what happened then. But I guess until then, I'll be at home if you need me. But. No, it's fine. Thanks. Click.
I put the Smiths back on, and then I just kind of, you know, get back in bed and just kind of...
With your flash shirt on?
Yeah, exactly. I'm wearing...
It's just encrusted with filth because you won't bathe or change. Hey, Ron, do you want to go for a run? No, it's too painful.
But I don't think I've read a single bad word about this book anywhere, so...
Shit.
Crap. Balls.
Anyway, so after reading my 4.5 books, I ended up choosing X-Men The End, Book 3, Men and X-Men, Issue Number 1.
That's really complicated.
It's a really complicated title. And I was really leaning towards picking the final issue of X-Men The End, Book 3, Men and X-Men. Number 6.
End the whole title, please.
This week on NBC Soap Opera Hour.
Hey, Jimmy.
I shake a big piece of foil for Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. Who's at the door?
I hope it's not Nazis.
I went 100 issues of Spawn. Jesus. And I stopped. And I have no idea why I'm saying Spawn, with, like, why my Long Island accent is coming out so strong with that, but for some reason I say Spawn like Spawn.
Spawn!
Apparently this Aquaman, like myself, comes from Maine.
How do you know?
Every once in a while, like, his dialogue will be with accent. Like, they'll drop the ah. like he's like, I'm sorry, Queen Mara, I gotta go with King Shark to get to Maine. like I've just noticed, and it hasn't been like this through. This is, I think, the fourth issue of this. And like in the first couple, he wasn't really doing it, but now like his reactions are more like a Down Easter from New England. Like, oh, for Pete's sakes, the bar's getting destroyed. Well, listen, you called Aquaman. I know I'm not him, but I'm the best you're gonna have. So do you need me to help out? With that? I know my name is Arthur Curry as well, but I'm not the same Arthur Curry. I was never king of Atlantis. It is another way to look at it. And
it's
if you wanted to
song.
Try to...
Stupid. He's writing because they for some reason, they did like a Clash of the Titans NCAA kind of type thing about who is the fittest superhero in the galaxy.
That's dumb.
And the headline was like before... And it's relevant to the story within.
And it's stupid.
It definitely looks like photo reference of Dane Cook's face, which is stupid.
We just made a comics connection, and you just throw it back in our face.
I'm just... Oh, my Lego TIE Fighter just fell down. Smashed everywhere.
Wow. And just and your dignity just came falling behind it.
It was really good. Not the least of which is because Gordon is back as being a commissioner. Which
Isn't he like 100 now?
No, they don't age in comics.
He was pretty old when he left.
He didn't leave... Well... Ugh. Let's not get into that, but the whole...
You're listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 44.
Who the hell was that?
Why can't you look at them?
Because you yelled at me when I opened it too soon.
Yeah, you opened it. I don't want you to open it. I want you to look to see if it's mine.
I don't want to get yelled at by you all the time. Kirkman owes us $30.
Now it's just a straight debt.
Exactly.
You'll be at a con somewhere, you're like, wait a minute, that guy owes me $30. Hey!
By the way, also, we've been on this recording for over an hour, and nobody's commented on the weather or the heat in the room.
I'm sorry, I'm a little addled because it's hotter than hell in here.
It's hot everywhere.
I'm like sweating like meatloaf, and it's killing me.
I'm Connor, and I'm melting.
It's so hot. How can we be? Seriously, did you see it's going to be freaking 90, like, it's going to be 95, like, all next week.
5, 4, 3.
Hey, everybody, you're listening. I just fucking do it again.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Hi, and welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast for the, well, fuck. All right, it's been a long time since I did this.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Hi, and welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode number 33. I hate the ums. All right, last time.
5, 4, 3.
Hey, and welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode number 33. iFanboy.com is a website that we happen to facilitate for everyone to use as well as for us to use. And that's awful. I'm sorry. Fuck me. Son of a bitch. You had it right when you used to write these, man. Anyway.
I only wrote it one time.
I know.
5, 4, 3.
Hi, and welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode number 5, 4, 3.